Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast.
Alex Kuhn, and we welcome you in with big news. We have a presenting sponsor on Wednesdays moving forward. We want to welcome City Tractor Company in North Liberty on board. They specialize in compact tractors and lawnmowers. Give them a call at 665-6500 to discuss your equipment and repair needs today. So welcome aboard, City Tractor. We appreciate having you with us, and we appreciate you, the listener, with us as well tonight until 7 o'clock or until you get to where you're going and can no longer enjoy the radio. Iowa State continues to be the focal point here at KGYM. Plenty more to get to, though, as Gary Rima, the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, joins us every Wednesday throughout football season. You'll hear him coming up at the bottom of the hour. And Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com is with us tonight at 6:15. He will answer your fantasy football questions courtesy of Imon Communications. Can we trust David Montgomery in week two? Those of us who own the former Iowa State running back, Tristan will answer that and more. We'll hear from Iowa State football coach Matt Campbell. He addressed the media yesterday as well. Plus, somebody's going to have an opportunity to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road inside tonight's 5 o'clock face-off. We'll talk NFL football, Major League Baseball, tough blow for the Milwaukee Brewers, and a big blow to the Chicago Cubs last night as they lose in extra innings to the San Diego Padres. All that and more to come as, Alex, we're one day closer to Iowa and Iowa State Saturday in Ames.
Yeah, we're on the backside of the week now.
And still nothing interesting popping up on the radar.
No, I think that we're just going to have to look at the game from an X's and O's standpoint for us to find any interesting storylines, because neither team is going to give us any at this point. And injury-wise, there are some things that both teams are working out, but we're probably not going to know a lot about some of the players who are game-time decisions until, I don't know, the game time. But other than that, yeah, both teams are very quiet. And I think a lot of fans are more than making up for it on social media and on our Hurtine and Stocker text line.
The money, at least at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside, is heavily in Iowa's favor at this point. The tickets are 8-1 in favor of the Hawkeyes, and the actual money being wagered is there's $6 on Iowa for every $1 on Iowa State. I bring up the Elite Sportsbook inside the Draft Day Lounge at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort because for those of you who are not going to Ames on Saturday afternoon, Alex is going to be broadcasting from noon until 3. You can go, you can hang out, you can watch some of the early games. I think they're opening the wagering at 9 a.m. on Saturday, and you can watch the early games, hang out with Alex, and then get your bets in on Iowa and Iowa State. A 3 o'clock kickoff on FS1. Again, that's coming up on Saturday from noon to 3. Alex broadcasting from the Elite Sportsbook inside the Draft Day Lounge at the Riverside Casino and Golf Resort in Riverside. So if you're able to, stop on in, say hi, and maybe put some money on your favorite team, whether you're an Iowa State backer or an Iowa fan. 319-366-1600 is the Hurtine and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use that to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Tickets for this game continue to inch ever higher. You're looking at $200 minimum to get into Jack Trice Stadium on Saturday for this game.
Is it well over $200 at this point? Yeah, the ticket prices have risen and risen and risen, and I think a lot of people are looking at the secondary market and saying, can we afford to go to this game? But if not, like you said, Todd, you can come join me on Saturday at the Elite Sportsbook. But yes, the ticket price It's how many does Jack Trice hold right around
61.5 I think
61,000. It's going to be filled to capacity on Saturday.
Oh, there's look, Ames is going to be filled to capacity. You may have to park in Boone and walk along the shoulder of the road. There will be plenty of people showing up for the party that don't have tickets to the game, and that's on the Ames police and Story County sheriffs to worry about, and none of my concern. But we saw this in 2002 when Iowa hosted Iowa State and they played a night game. I don't even want to estimate how many thousands of people, both Iowa and Iowa State fans, descended on Iowa City for that game who didn't have tickets to the game, nor did they ever intend to even go inside the stadium. They were just there to hang out in the parking lots, drink beer, and as you sometimes get in rivalries, they're also there to be idiots. They're a very small segment of both fan bases will be out to do stupid things on Saturday. And you just have to look, if you're an Iowa State fan, you have to look at the Iowa fans who are idiots and say, that's not the norm. And the same applies the other way around. If you're an Iowa fan and you got a problem with an Iowa State fan this weekend, just try to remind yourself for every 10 fans of one team, 9 of them are decent. And maybe you got one bad apple. 319-366-1600. Look, everything is expensive nowadays, but you got to draw the line somewhere. And we've talked about this before with attendance and teams sort of pricing themselves out of. Look, there were empty seats last week for Iowa's Big Ten opener. And I know it's early in the season for Big Ten football, but $65 a ticket for Rutgers. Of course, you're going to have a lot of empty seats. And there were a lot of them in the north end zone, the northeast corner of the stadium where the 8-man Rutgers non-electrical band was playing. The smallest band I've ever seen. I don't know whether that was an unofficial or official. Speaking of Rutgers, I saw this earlier today. Chris Carlin, the voice of the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, who was on the gym class last week with Scott and Mark, out at WFAN in Chicago. Was one of the co-hosts of the afternoon program there with Bart Scott and another co-host. Out of a job. So you saw your team lose its Big Ten opener 30-0 in Iowa City, and then 4 or 5 days later you find out that your day job is no longer an option for you. So not exactly an ideal week for the voice of the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Let's get to, now that we've dispensed with the pleasantries of acknowledging the fact that Iowa and Iowa State are playing again this weekend, and quite frankly, there is nothing really to get into at this point about this game because neither side has given us anything to discuss. Antonio Brown. I don't think you can go any further down the road here without addressing this bombshell story that dropped last night, and that's the fact that Antonio Brown is being accused now of sexual assault by somebody that he had a former business relationship with. The Patriots do their due diligence when it comes to background checks. Every NFL team does. And they either got completely caught off guard by this or they don't care. And I don't know what direction to go in. He practiced with the team today.
It's a sad reminder, and as if the story can't get any more horrible, it did last night when I was leaving the station and saw the accusations made by a former trainer of his, a gymnast at Central Michigan, who now is a gymnastics teacher in the Memphis area, and A couple of the people that my younger brother works with down in the Memphis area know her and have nothing but
get
great.
Her on the podcast. Get her on the Two Coons Takes podcast.
I think that might be
it would
a little,
launch you guys into the stratosphere.
I think that might be a little difficult at this point. I think we'll. She has asked to have her privacy respected at this point as far as the media is concerned. She's going to cooperate
with you. Not the media. You're just two guys with a podcast.
True. Well, with jobs in the media.
Sell her on that.
Yeah. I was hoping that this whole Antonio Brown story was done because it was annoying. It was bringing a lot of people down. It was so stupid. And then this happens and it just launches it into another level of disgustingness.
You know, it's not a good look for the Central Michigan English department. I don't think he was probably an English major, but there are text messages.
Yeah, emails.
And emails out there attributed to him.
Yeah.
And you need more than a Dick Tracy decoder ring to decipher them. But needless to say, he seems to incriminate himself in some of the acts that he's accused of perpetrating here. And, of course, you also, in this day and age, will have a number of people who rush to tar and feather the accuser or jump to the presumption of guilt with regard to Antonio Brown. This happened a while ago, and so it's going to be difficult, I think, to prove beyond a reasonable doubt one way or the other, so you fall into this gray area of he said, she said, and I don't know, it's a very fine line to walk, and you've got a lot of people in the media who are trying to do that today, because I do believe that when people come forward with allegations, you need to take them seriously. And are 100% of allegations always true? No. And that's where you fall into a dangerous area, because sometimes allegations are untrue. They're thrown out there for various reasons. But just because that happens from time to time, it doesn't mean that when someone comes forward with something, you don't listen to them or you don't believe them or take them at their word. And that's a battle that women in particular continue to fight. And as I understand it, this former gymnast acquaintance of his is getting married.
She is.
Right now, this week. And who knows? People come forward on their own timelines. And perhaps there was some sort of discussion with moving forward with the wedding and everything, and it triggered her needing to move on this, to put it behind her so that she could move on with her life. And here I'm baselessly speculating on something, which is always dangerous. But there's a lot more to this story. And if you're the New England Patriots, how do you proceed? He was reportedly with Tom Brady last night having dinner with him. They're trying to get to know one another a little bit better. What do you do if you're the Patriots? Not to make this is the seedy underbelly of the sports talk radio world as well, because you've got a really serious incident here, a serious matter, and all of a sudden you have to try to stuff it into the casing of sports. You can't view it as anything other than how does it affect the team that he plays for, and it makes me want to go home and take a shower at night sometimes. But it's something that people are interested in. I can almost guarantee you when we talk with Tristan Cockcroft at 6:15 tonight, when he's answering fantasy football questions, someone's going to bring up Antonio Brown. It'll happen. What do you do? But the Patriots, they're the ones that face this real life challenge of, and apparently they're taking it day by day.
Well, they're not even saying anything about it. Oh, this doesn't have to do with me, according to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I mean, you brought him in. He's on your team. He's living with you. I'm not saying that you have to go out and assume guilt or innocence in this case, but it does have to do with you for the most part. It has to do with a teammate. It has to do with somebody that you just brought in, and it has to do with somebody that's living with you in your house Tom Brady. So I know it's a tough situation, and they're trying to figure out as much as they can at this point. I don't know what the next step is. I do know that this is a civil suit at this point, and federal prosecutors are looking to see if there's enough evidence to prosecute Antonio Brown. And if those emails are in fact attributed to Brown and they can prove that it was Antonio Brown that sent those emails, then, I mean, it does incriminate him on at least one of the three charges that have been brought against him. So this is serious. This is not a thing that is going to just blow over. This is not something that you see kind of get swept under the rug with some of these athletes, unfortunately. This story is not going anywhere. So anybody that was hoping that this Antonio Brown story was done, I have bad news for you. It's not.
So he's living with I didn't know that. That yeah. He's living with Tom Brady.
Tom
and
Brady
Giselle
brought him
and the
in.
Kids.
Yeah.
Well, that's gotta be pleasant for Giselle. She makes all the money. She could lay down the law and say, get him out of the house. 319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. 1979 says that there were reports earlier today that Oakland and New England knew that this was a possibility. Well, look, this is the National Football League where you can do virtually anything and there are no consequences other than using your First Amendment rights. You do that on the company's time, they're going to have an issue with it. Other than that, you can beat women, you can do drugs, you can do a number of things, and if you've got enough talent on a football field, they're going to give you an opportunity to go out there and play. So from that standpoint, I think now you've got people huddled in Foxborough saying some variation of the phrase, how can we justify this? How can we get him on the field? He's too talented not to be, especially at the league minimum.
Well,
this is the most Patriots thing ever, right? They get one of the best players in the game walking in their door on a league minimum deal as the season gets underway. The first week of the season, they acquire the services of an elite wide receiver for pennies on the dollar. And of course, your football people are nervous about this because it's not the NCAA. They don't have to vacate. They're not going to vacate any wins if he plays and gets into trouble. But this is the same organization that hasn't exactly avoided really bad headlines this offseason, in particular related to their owner, the Orchids of Asia. I believe I was in one of my fantasy baseball leagues that I'm in. Somebody changed their name to the name of the quote-unquote spa.
Is that crossing the line?
Well, it's an extremely dated reference. The reference was dated about 24 hours after he changed the name. One guy in the league was like, what the hell does this even mean? And he needed it explained to him. Well, it's a football reference to Robert Kraft in a fantasy baseball league. I don't know either. 366-1600. We've got the second week of the National Football League kicking off tomorrow. We will have a full slate of games for you this weekend. Also, as you may have surmised, Iowa-Iowa State this weekend. The broadcast begins at 1 o'clock. John Walters on the pregame, 1600 a.m. 107.5, 106.3 FM, 1 o'clock on Saturday. We will bring you KGYM's Iowa-centric pregame show before the boom, although with this week being Iowa and Iowa State, we will talk plenty of Matt Campbell and the Cyclones, who again at the moment in Riverside, a 2.5-point underdog to Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes. 319-366-1600. We'll bring Kyle into the studio here shortly to get you a big board update. Mitch Keller pitched again last night. Great to see him back on the mound for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Unfortunately, the results were not fantastic for Mitch, as he continues to get his feet wet when it comes to time in the major leagues. But great to see him back out there suffering no ill effects from that line drive that he took in that game against the Marlins. Lots more to get to on the program today. Again, we welcome City Tractor in North Liberty on board as our presenting sponsor on Thursdays. We'll tell you more about them over the course of the next 2.5 hours. Again, Tristan Cockcroft answering your fantasy football questions tonight at 6:15. You can actually get those into us now. We will put them in the queue and answer them for you. So if you've got a question, feel free to text it at 319-366-1600. Stick around, because in the 5 o'clock hour, your opportunity to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We'll have that for you inside the 5 o'clock face-off. Kyle is with us, though, in the studio. He's going to bring you a big board update. He does so once an hour, courtesy of Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. You can find them on 420th Street, or you can check out the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
It is a relatively slow news day here in eastern Iowa, with the biggest news being the announcement of Iowa's wrestling schedule for the upcoming season. But to be fair, it is a pretty grabby schedule. The Hawkeyes will host home duels against 5 schools that finished in the top 10 at last year's NCAA championships. Ohio State and Penn State will be on back-to-back Fridays in January, and Minnesota, Nebraska, and Oklahoma State will also come to Carver. The Nittany Lions and Buckeyes finished 1st and 2nd, Oklahoma State 3rd, Minnesota 8th, and Nebraska 10th. Mitch Keller made his first career start. He made his first start since being nailed in the throwing wrist with a line drive last night. And to be honest, it didn't go great. He gave up 5 runs, 3 in the first inning, and yielded 9 hits over 5 innings. He did, however, strike out 7 with no walks. The Colonel season's over, but for those invested in the Midwest League Championship Series begins tonight in South Bend between the Cubs and Clinton Lumber Kings. That series is a best of 5. With less than a month remaining in the regular season, the Twins are clinging to a 5-game lead in the AL Central, and the Nationals are in line for the NL's first wild card spot, and that's the matchup we'll have for you tonight from Minnesota. Steven Strasburg and Martin Perez will be on the mound, and we'll pick it up right after the show on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
Kendall Graveman making the start tonight for South Bend in Game 1 of the Midwest League Championship Series. He is on a rehab assignment from the big league Chicago Cubs, so it'll be interesting. It's always interesting to see the teams that send major league players down to the A-ball ranks for rehab assignments during the playoffs, but they're the only Cubs affiliate still playing right now, so I'm going to get his innings in. 82-20 on the subject of Antonio Brown on the text line. I have no answer for this. 82-20 says, if you were accused of rape, would you be on the air today? That's a great question. I have no idea how they would handle that here. I would be trumpeting the innocent until proven guilty aspect of it, but at the same point in time, I could see where an employer would say, and we don't really want to associate with you right now. You're a little toxic. Come back, when the dust settles and everything is fine, why don't you go take some time off right now? It's a very hectic time in your life. Go take some time. I think that's probably what would happen. Would I be happy about it being innocent? No, I would not. But it's fascinating to think about. And there are other things, other crimes or things that one could do where you would ask yourself, would I have a job today or not? But this isn't the National Football League. See, in the NFL, yeah, he's fine until he's not. And even then, as this is civil, in theory, he could pay out in a civil case and still play, right? He's not going to do jail time. Well,
it's going to be up to the New England Patriots.
And, of course, that organization's never criticized for anything that it does.
They're always above board on everything that they do.
People are just waiting in the wings to pounce on Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft. No matter what they do here, they're damned if they do, damned if they don't, from a certain angle in looking at this. And they'll be criticized for whatever it is that they do, especially if he plays. But you want to talk? I'm not sure that you could have made a situation as bizarre as Antonio Brown's even more head-scratching, but he somehow has managed to pull this off. And if you're the Patriots, you've got to be frustrated. Although, again, there are reports out there that they knew that this could be a possibility. And if you're the Raiders, are you? I mean, you've gone from sort of a laughing stock to you won your first game without Antonio Brown. You got the fans in the black hole chanting obscenities with relation to him as they're beating the Broncos, a guy who doesn't even play on your team. And now you've got to feel as if you perhaps have dodged a little bit of a bullet here. The NFL, it is a funny thing. Not funny, ha-ha, to quote Goodfellas, but you just never know. But you also do sort of know with the NFL.
Yeah, at this point, you do.
Hey, you can beat a child. Are you talented enough? Yeah, we'll welcome you back with open arms. A little bit of a domestic dispute with your wife or girlfriend? Take a couple games off, come back, and catch some footballs for us. Tax evasion, performance-enhancing drugs, a litany of other things outside of domestic terrorism, probably. Yeah, you're welcome to come back and put your uniform on. There's only one thing that will prevent someone from getting a job in the NFL, and we all know what it is, and I'm not saying his name. 319-366-1600. We'll take a quick timeout. Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, set to join us at the bottom of the hour. And before the top of the hour, a big blow last night to the Milwaukee Brewers as they try to chase down the National League wild card, currently in possession of the Chicago Cubs. Christian Yelich out for the remainder of the season with a broken kneecap. All that to come in the next 30 minutes. 319-366-1600 again is the text line. Glad to have you aboard with us today on a Wednesday afternoon, the middle of the week. The Cyhawk game now just a little bit closer Saturday afternoon in Ames. Again, you'll hear from Matt Campbell coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM after this.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
September 14th, join the Iowa Geocachers organization for Hike and Seek. Come together with geocachers from around the state at Wiki Up Hill Learning Center to enjoy a day outdoors hunting for treasure. Anyone can participate and everyone is welcome.
Details at kgymradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank has been serving your community for 95 years. We're the bank here, or wherever you need us to be, harvesting that first ear of corn with 500 acres to go. Deciding on the perfect vacation spot. From your business to our office to the comfort of your home after a busy day. Explore your options at Fairfax State Savings Bank. Get started with your personal or business lending today at thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere.
Sports.
This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Field House First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food, stay for the sports. Field House First Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
Online sports betting is here with EliteSportsbook.com. If you are an active Riverside Casino and Golf Resort Club member, go to EliteSportsbook.com now and follow the prompts to start betting. Not a resort club member? Visit Riverside Casino to join today. Bet with Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort or online now. More ways to get in the game with EliteSportsbook.com and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
When you fire up a John Deere 1 Series tractor, you can tackle the job without wrestling the attachments. Hook up everything from a front loader to a drive-over mower deck to a backhoe without wasting any time at all. So you can haul gravel, till soil, cut grass, or do any job in between. Because when things just click, work just gets done. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Get your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or find them online at citytractor.com.
Twins and the Nationals game two of a three-game series comes your way on Wednesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Welcome back in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Wednesday. Brought to you by the good folks at City Tractor. More on them to come. The UNI Panthers on a bye week this week. Probably not a bad time to not have a game to worry about. Maybe sit back in the recliners in Cedar Falls and watch Iowa and Iowa State go at it on Saturday. The voice of the Panthers with us as usual on Wednesdays. Oh, baby, I love this segment with Gary Rima. And Gary, pretty convincing win last weekend to look back on. 34-14 over Southern Utah. Had to be a good feeling, especially after what happened in Ames.
Yeah, absolutely, Todd, to get that first win of the year. And it played really well against the Cyclones and then, you know, suffer the heartbreaking triple overtime loss. And you wonder if the guys will have a bit of a hangover from that game and maybe not be as sharp or, you know, turn one loss into two. But they came out and played really good. They were a little sluggish, I thought, the first 8-9 minutes of the game offensively. But once they got going, offense really got on track. The passing game was really good. Will McElvain throws three touchdown passes. And you had that highlight touchdown play by Deion McShane, and just, you know, the crowd loved it. Built that 34-0 lead, and then kind of put it in coast the last quarter of that game, and gave up a couple of late touchdowns. But there really was no doubt that the Panthers were the better team on Saturday, and I thought looked good. And now having this bye week to get ready for, you know, 10 straight FCS matchups and the Missouri Valley Football Conference, I think everybody feels pretty good about where this football team is at.
Including Mark Farley, who has made that known. Have you sensed the confidence that I think all of us have from him about this football team? Because he seems to be very positive every time he chats about a performance in Ames and then in Cedar Falls last week.
I think he's like all of us. He's as close to this football team as anybody, Alex. He really likes this team. This team, you never know chemistry wise, and when you got to find a new starting quarterback and a lot of other things that they had to find this year, even on the defensive side of the football. I think he really likes this group of guys, and I think he sees the potential in this team, and I think that's the biggest thing. This team hasn't, you know, they're just starting to scrape the surface, I think, on how good they can be. And there's some tough games ahead. And we got to go to Weber State in a few weeks, and they're ranked in the top six in the country and made a run in the playoffs a year ago after being co-champs of the Big Sky. Everybody knows how tough the Missouri Valley Football Conference is. Youngstown State's probably going to come into our place in 4 weeks for the conference opener, 4-0 and a top 25 ranked team. And then it's North Dakota State and everybody else after that. So there's some really, really tough games coming up, but I like the way this team is coming out of the gate this year. How many times have we talked 4, 5, 6 games into the season, and we're talking Panther fans off the ledge and saying, hey, you know, I know we're 2-3, but hang in there. This is a good team, or they're sitting 3-4 at the, you know, 7-game mark. But it feels like this team's out to a much better start than some recent teams. And again, I just think it's a group of guys that's really talented. They've really come together, and you can just see that when Coach Farley talks about this particular team.
Will McElvain, 17-25, 262 yards, 3 touchdowns. Did you see any growth from him from the Iowa State game? Anything different?
I actually did. One thing that was just something to work on after the Iowa State game was for Will to not vacate the pocket quite so quickly. Try and you know, trust his eyes, trust what he sees, and get the ball out quicker and hit some receivers so that they can get some yards after the catch. And he absolutely did that on Saturday. He hung in that pocket a little bit longer, made some really good reads, made some good throws, and hit some guys where they could add some yards to the play after they caught the football. And he did some good scrambles again too. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's a big part of his game, is that escape ability that he has, and then extend plays and find open receivers. But He was much more patient in the pocket. And I think some of that had to do with game one. You've got that tough defensive line of Iowa State coming at you, where Southern Utah wasn't nearly as good up front as Iowa State, and that offensive line did a better job protecting him and giving him just a little bit more time. So I think there was some growth there. You can see that his confidence is just, I mean, it goes up with every series, every first down, every touchdown. He's really an outstanding young quarterback, and it's going to be fun to see him continue to progress, because again, it's just his second college game, but man, I really like what he brings to this team.
Gary, is Deion McShane putting the rest of FCS on notice of a possible big-time breakout sophomore season?
You know what? We talked about this last week, that with this particular receiving core, it could be anybody on any given day, but Deion gets 7 catches at Iowa State. He gets a career-high 8 catches last week and has that spectacular touchdown scoring play. And I think he is definitely going to be on every team moving forward's radar of having an idea of how to defend that guy. But he's so quick and runs his pattern so well. I just, for a young sophomore receiver, he's really coming on. And, Isaiah Weston could have a game like that next time out. So could Jalen James, so could Jalen Rima. There's so many guys that are a great weapon on the offensive side of the football. Teams do start to shade Deion a little bit more, try and double him and be more concerned about him. It's just going to open it up for those other wide receivers. But he's good. He's really good, and they have a lot of plays designed to get the ball in his hands, and I don't think that's going to change.
The 150th career win for Mark Farley last weekend, coming against Southern Utah. Did he reflect on that all with you after the victory, or was it just another win for him?
Oh, we talked to him about it, but he answered the question exactly like we thought he would. He gave credit to all the other players and coaches that have been part of it, and just, you know, way back to Rick Hartzell hiring him, taking a chance on him when he had no head coaching experience, and was probably, when they narrowed it down to the 5 finalists back after that 2000 season, Todd, and they listed off the 5 finalists, and Mark Farley was one of them. I think a lot of people thought he was, if you rated him 1 through 5, you'd probably put him 4th or 5th as far as having the shot to get that job. But he just totally blew the committees away that were interviewing him with his enthusiasm and love for UNI Panther football. And he thanked Hartzell a ton and President Coob at the time who took a chance on him. And then all the people that have supported his program, even behind the scenes with financial support and everything else, all the coaches that have come through there and the players. So you kind of felt that Coach would probably answer it that way, but man, 150 victories, all at the FCS level, all of them at the University of Northern Iowa. Pretty cool when you realize, I think there was a stat that there's only been 10 FCS coaches that have ever won 150 games or more as an FCS head coach. So that speaks to his longevity and also the fact that in his 19th season, he wins a lot of football games at UNI.
I'm sure he's going to move on quickly to the bye week and trying to iron some things out. What are the main things that this team sort of needs to get fixed before they head to their game against Idaho State?
I think, Alex, the running game still has to get better. It was better on Saturday. We felt it would be or should be against that Southern Utah rush defense that gave up 330-some-odd yards to UNLV the week before. And you know, when the Panthers only rushed for 34 yards on 31 carries at Iowa State, I think we chalk that up to the number one rush defense from a year ago in the Big 12, and Panthers will run it better moving forward. And they did, 105 yards. Still, you still want more than that. Trevor Allen was better. He had 77 yards rushing. But if this offense is really going to be prolific and tough to defend when we get up against some of the top FCS teams in the country, which we will face. We've got 3 games coming up against top six ranked teams in FCS football. So you're going to have to be up around 150, 200 yards per game, I think, for the offense to really be where you want it to be. Now, it doesn't have to be the mainstay of the offense, because I really think this offense is going to rely a lot on the passing game. But you got to be able to keep them honest with that running game, and did a better job of that this past Saturday. But I think that's one thing they're really going to work on this week in the bye week, and even into next week going into that game against Idaho State. That running game has got to get better if we want to be the team we want to be. I think they like how the defense is coming together, maybe just a few tweaks or so there. You know, and the other thing that's kind of interesting in the history of Coach Farley being the head coach at UNI, usually during the bye week, he'll move a player around. He'll take a guy, and we've seen him not only move a player from a different position, like when he moved Austin Howard from a tight end to a tackle, or last year Matt Vanderslice went from a tight end to a tackle. We've seen him take a guy on the offensive side of the football and use him on defense, and switching Sunni Lane a year ago was on the defensive side of the football. They moved him to a wide receiver to build the depth there. I think what you're going to see happen is they're really working on finding that guy that can bolster the tight end position, with Briley Moore most likely out for 5 or 6 weeks with his injury, and contemplating maybe having to take a redshirt year this year. They've got to build a little more depth at that tight end spot. So whether it's making Matt Vanderslice a more permanent tight end now and not using him as a backup tackle, that could be one of the moves. But they're looking for somebody else maybe to use at that tight end spot. So that I think those are the main things you're going to see. A lot of the work, you know, I think the defense is putting in their time, but a lot of the work, I think, is on the offensive side of the football to get better in those areas.
Let's go to the defensive side for just a second. Jared Brinkman has been a name that stood out the first couple of weeks. Do you sense the Iowa City Regina product sort of coming into his own in his junior year?
Yeah, he's playing really good. Talk about a guy that's tough to guard. It was interesting when I was talking with the color commentator for the Southern Utah Radio Network before the game, a guy that played at Southern Utah. He said when he watched film of the UNI-Iowa State game, the guy that jumped out at him was Jared Brinkman, and just said, man, that it took two guys to defend that guy. And there's times he was still getting in there and you know, wreaking havoc with the running play or getting to the quarterback. And Jared's so tough, so strong. You know, with him and Butcher as those two defensive tackles, I think the defensive line is outstanding this year. Seth Thomas and Ellerson Smith are playing great on the edge, and now Bronte Wells is coming on as a defensive end. But with Brinkman and Butcher right there in the middle of that, when they go to the four-man front, or if it's more of the 3-4 look, and it's Brinkman in there as the lone D tackle, he is so. It takes two guys to block him, and sometimes two guys can't do it. So he's a guy that to keep an eye on that defensive side of the football. I think he's in for a big-time season.
All right, Gary, what's on tap for the bye week? I know you like to spend a lot of time around your family, but my guess is maybe 3 o'clock you might be watching FS1 and Iowa State this weekend.
Yeah, anxious to take in College Game Day, see what that's all about. You know, from Ames, first time ever there. Of course, we don't watched it before, but we've never seen it aired from Ames, Iowa, and it'll be fun knowing that we were just there a couple of weeks ago, and then certainly take in some Iowa State football. But then I'm actually going to make the trek to Fayette, Iowa, and watch some Upper Iowa Peacock Division II football on Saturday night. They kick off around 6 o'clock, and I love to get up there and get on campus and see Rick Hartzell and some of the people that are there, and then watch the only Division II program in the state of Iowa play a home game, their first home game of the year. So gonna take in some football on Saturday.
Gary, we appreciate it as always, and we'll touch base with you next week when we're looking to Idaho State, the Bengal Tigers. Appreciate it as always. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you then.
Oh, baby, I love this segment. The play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers with us every Wednesday at 4:30 all throughout the football and basketball seasons.
These early bye weeks are going to throw me off a little bit. They're interesting. Iowa State had one last week. You and I this week. Iowa next week. At least they come at different times.
For our sake. Yes. I missed the boat tremendously at the beginning of the season on you and I. I just thought there were too many questions. I did not put a whole lot of stock in this team, especially to get off to the strong start. Gary alluded to it. There have been a number of years where at this point in the season, it feels like you're trying to calm you and I fans down about early losses. And this team, Mark Farley's teams, do tend to play better as the season goes on. This one's coming right out of the chute for you. And I tell you what, boy, did they get the right quarterback in Will McElvain. And I think Mark Farley probably realized that pretty early on and didn't necessarily say it publicly, but you look at what he's been able to do the first 2 weeks, going on the road at Iowa State and showing absolutely no jitters in his first career start, and then coming back last week and throwing 3 touchdowns against Southern Utah. You and I dominated that game up 24-0 at the half, 34-0 late in the game before Southern Utah tacked on a couple meaningless touchdowns. Looks like a good football program up there at UNI this season, and we'll be talking Idaho State next week with Gary.
It's going to set up some fun games, not just next week, but in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. That conference is so fun to watch if you don't normally get a chance to do it. So competitive, and any of those teams on any given week can I think go into an FBS and a lower level FBS team's stadium and give them trouble. Maybe not Missouri State, but even Indiana State, who look like the doormat of the MVC, has pushed themselves to near the top the last year and then going into this year. So a lot of money by those schools has been invested into football, and that is a really good conference. And with you and I this year looking as dynamic as they do with Will McElvain, these matchups against some of the upper-level teams in that conference are going to be awesome.
Speaking of football this weekend, you and I may be off, but everybody should be aware Iowa and Iowa State are playing. If you can't make it to the game, you can hang out with you.
Absolutely. Iowa fans, Iowa State fans, come to the Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge. I will be there broadcasting from noon until 3, and then taking in the Cy-Hawk game from Jack Trice Stadium on one of the mini TVs that they have inside the Elite Sportsbook.
So go get your action down. Put your money where your mouth is. If you're an Iowa State fan, you can get a couple points at the moment. Iowa fans, you got to lay a couple going on the road for the first time this season. Somebody's going to win. It may as well be you, right? The Elite Sportsbook, open for business inside the Draft Day Lounge at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort in Riverside. Again, Alex there from noon until 3, kickoff expected at 3 o'clock on FS1. We invite you to listen to it right here on 1600 AM, John Walters and the Cyclone Radio Network. You can also preview that game from an Iowa standpoint, although there will be plenty of Iowa State discussion as well on this week's Before the Boom. That's coming your way Saturday at 1 o'clock on both of our FM frequencies, 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. 60 minutes of discussion dedicated to the Cy-Hawk game. We'll take a quick timeout. Don't forget, we've still got an opportunity for you to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. It's coming up inside the 5 o'clock face-off tonight. Tristan Cockcroft answering your fantasy football questions at 6:15, and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, brought to you on Wednesdays by City Tractor Company in North Liberty. Back with more on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio after this.
This is the Gym's Alex Kuhn, and I'll be broadcasting live Saturday at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge. I'll be there helping you gear up for the Hawkeyes' first away game of the season. From noon until the kickoff at 3, hang out with me, do some indoor tailgating, and learn more about sports betting in Iowa. Then stick around and watch the game. Get ready to cheer on the Black and Gold Saturday at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge.
Look alive, coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
How good are PXG clubs? Golf writers describe them as absolutely remarkable and the best golf clubs out there. Our customers call them insanely good and say they live up to the hype. So what are you waiting for? Step up your game and enjoy golf more than ever. Call 844-PLAY-PXG, 844-PLAY-PXG, or visit pxg.com to book your custom fitting. PXG. Nobody makes golf clubs the way we do. Period.
School's back in session, which means your ride better be ready. At AutoZone, we've got the free services you need to drive with confidence. Like our free AutoZone Fix Finder service. If your check engine light is on, our Fix Finder service will help troubleshoot the likely issue. It could be something serious or maybe something simple. So knowing the likely issue can save you a lot of time and money down the road. And if you need help from a repair shop, we know some of the best. To learn more, visit us online at AutoZone.com. Restrictions and details apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Hi, my name's Christina Stumble, and I own Farm Girl Flowers in San Francisco. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. Last year, I redeemed $115,000 in cash back. Yeah, $115,000. And that doubled our digital marketing budget for the summer. Thanks to my Spark Card, we had our best summer yet. Imagine what the Spark Card from Capital One could do for your business. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
Your next haircut now has a shortcut. Introducing the Sport Clips Haircuts app. That's right. Now the cut you want is just a tap away. Just download the app, check in at your neighborhood Sport Clips, and choose your Guy Smart stylist, and you're done. We'll text you when your stylist is almost ready. Then head to Sport Clips for a championship haircut experience. It's home field advantage for your hair. No appointment needed. Just download the Sport Clips app and check in. And don't forget a beard trim. Sport Clips. You choose the cut. We cut the weight.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
My name is Brandon. I am a manager of tire sales at Firestone Complete Auto Care. When you come here to get service, we're going to take care of your car. Because you take care of your car is going to take care of you.
Come in for the Firestone Complete Auto Care Epic Sales Event and save $100 when you spend $500 or more. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Valid September 12th through September 15th. The exclusions apply. Cannot be combined with other offers. Additional fees may apply where lawful. See store for details.
4:55, welcome back in the Todd Bromelcamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Wednesday afternoon here in Eastern Iowa. You are listening to the area's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM, also 106.3, 107.5 FM, and online at KGYMradio.com. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, an opportunity for you to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We're going to be back at Mulligan's next Thursday, a week from tomorrow, for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Baseball season continuing on in earnest. If you're a fan of the National League Central, the Cardinals are doing all right now. The Cubs suffering a disappointing loss last night in extra innings in San Diego. Disappointing for a number of reasons, not the least of which the Cardinals did lose last night, so they could have gained a little bit of ground in the NL Central standings, but their loss crippled in comparison to Milwaukee's loss yesterday. They actually beat Miami 4-3 at Marlins Park, but they lost Christian Yelich in his first at-bat Tuesday night, fouling a ball off his knee, a broken kneecap. He will be out for the rest of the season.
I jinxed him.
You said something about him yesterday, right?
Yeah, I said, how is he not the MVP? Could you imagine what the Brewers, where they would be without him. And you said, yeah, I think a lot of people could imagine, a lot of people in the NL Central would benefit by having a few more victories over the Milwaukee Brewers, and not hours later, we're going to get the reality of what the Brewers will look like without Christian Yelich.
He entered yesterday leading the major leagues in slugging percentage, OPS, and total bases. He was and is hitting .329, 44 home runs, 100 runs scored, 97 runs driven in, and he stole 30 bases. Now, on top of all of this, the Brewers enter play today. Their series against the Marlins continues. They're now just a game behind the Cubs for the second National League wild card. It's hard watching the Cubs and not thinking that you're just watching a team begin to circle the drain at this point. They came back last night. Chris Bryant, Jason Hayward, each had two home runs apiece. You're playing the Padres. They're not a very good team. And ultimately, you wind up losing in extra innings. The Cardinals just seem to be moonwalking to an NL Central division title at this point.
Well, there are seven games remaining with the Cubs and the Cardinals. And
they may not matter. The Cubs continue to play the way that they're doing.
But four of them are at Wrigley Field. I don't think the Cardinals have won a game at Wrigley Field this season yet, have they?
We talked earlier in the season about the road team not faring well particular series. They do have head-to-head matchups, as you said, where they could make up some ground, but unfortunate news, and I think as a baseball fan, you can't be happy whether you're a Cubs fan, Cardinals fan, Phillies fan. Phillies are in the wild card race as well. Watching Christian Yelich go, it's not good for the game. It's you want to have those star players out there making an impact in September during the stretch run, and unfortunately Christian Yelich's season has come to an end. Baseball season winding down, the NFL kicking off. Week one in the books. Overreactions next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Doug Brown. Patriots wideout Antonio Brown practiced today for the first time with his new team. Brown is accused of sexual assault by his former trainer, Brittany Taylor. Next week, Taylor will meet with the NFL. ESPN's Booger McFarland.
The number one thing that they don't want, they do not want the image of the Shield to be damaged. They do not want people to be talking about Antonio Brown and sexual assault allegations. They want people to be talking about football.
Booger McFarland on Golic and Wingo. It's too early to know if Brown will be allowed to play Sunday against the Dolphins. Raiders rookie safety Jonathan Abram will have season-ending shoulder surgery on Friday. He got hurt during Monday night's win against the Broncos. Team USA is out at the FIBA World Cup, beaten by France in the quarterfinals today, 89-79. The loss ends a 58-game tournament winning streak with NBA players. We've got a baseball doubleheader tonight on ESPN starting at 7 Eastern. First up, the Phillies host the Braves. That game will be followed by the Cubs and Padres in San Diego.
Coming up Thursday, he's not on the Jets, the Giants, or the Cowboys. Is the actual best running back in the league playing on Thursday Night Football? Plus the latest on Antonio Brown. Thursday on Goal with the Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by The Grill Works in Marion, your grilling and smoking headquarters, making you the grill master you deserve to be. Here's the grilling tip of the week.
Tailgating season is here. This is Lisa with The Grillworks. I'd like to share my favorite tailgating recipe, pig shots. Slice a smoked brat into half-inch slices. Wrap with half a piece of bacon to form a cup. Stuff the cup with cream cheese seasoned with our cactus dust seasoning and grill at 275 for about an hour and a half. Then the last 20 minutes, sprinkle with pecan rub. It's so good. As a bonus, you can even cold smoke the cream cheese. Happy tailgating season from all of us at The Grillworks. 763 8th Avenue in Marion, your grilling and smoking headquarters.
Welcome back to No Brainer. Gary.
I'll take cars and trucks.
What's the best way to protect your engine from gum, varnish, and corrosion?
Stabil 360.
Gasoline with ethanol can go bad in as little as blank.
30 days?
Using Stabil 360 ethanol treatment year-round is what?
Is it a no-brainer?
It is! You win peace of mind, Gary!
Awesome! Can I have money?
Stabil 360, it's a no-brainer. Available where fuel additives are sold.
Hiring can be a challenge, as Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner discovered. Gretchen needed to hire a game artist for her education tech company. So she went to ZipRecruiter.com, posted her job, and found the right person in less than 2 weeks. How? ZipRecruiter's technology finds people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. So it's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/will. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WILL. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
5:03. Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Wednesday afternoon in eastern Iowa as the Cy-Hawk Showdown Saturday inches ever closer. You can almost smell the tailgating right now, can't you? Just roll down the window, give it a big sniff. 319-366-1600 is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Wednesday's Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn being presented by the City Tractor Company in North Liberty, a full line of outdoor power equipment available, over 40 lines of equipment in stock. You can give them a call at 665-6500. If you're looking for solutions for your lawn or acreage equipment in eastern Iowa, make sure you consult the pros at City Tractor in North Liberty. Lots more to get to on the program tonight. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com will be joining us inside the 6 o'clock hour, about 6:15 tonight. If you'd like to get your fantasy football questions in for Week 2 with Tristan, feel free to do so now. Use the text line 366-1600. We will put those questions into the queue and ask them in the order that we receive them, until Tristan is actually on with us, and then they come in hot and heavy, and it's a matter at that point of just trying to keep up with everything. We will hear here in the 5 o'clock hour from Iowa State football coach Matt Campbell. He addressed the media yesterday in Ames. Some of the highlights of what he had to say, we'll play those for you. And we've got the 5 o'clock face-off on tap at the bottom of the hour. You're 25 minutes away from your chance to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We'll be back at Mulligan's a week from tomorrow for the next KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Happy hour from 3 until 6 at Mulligan's. And on Thursdays, like tomorrow, you can enjoy half-price wings from 6 until close. Tomorrow also marks the start of Week 2 of the National Football League season. Alex, as we look back on Week 1, some major storylines. We've touched on Antonio Brown already today. What were some of your Week 1 overreactions to the NFL? The first one that comes to mind immediately is that the Bears need to cancel all of their Super Bowl parades. They're terrible. They're awful. They're not going to do anything this year. Classic overreaction. They looked bad in Week 1. And these Bears fans that have spent the entire offseason talking about winning a championship and going to the Super Bowl, they didn't handle that loss to the Packers all that well. I'm telling you right now, it's Week 1. It's one game. It's a 16-week season. I think the Bears are going to be fine. But there's my Week 1 overreaction, one of them anyway.
The problem with the Bears is, excuse me, they just affirmed everything that we believed about them. That their success or lack thereof is going to be dependent on their quarterback play. And their quarterback play was horrible. Therefore, their offense did not work. They were terrible in their first game against the Green Bay Packers. I think it's going to continue to be that way. Teams are going to crowd the line of scrimmage and try to make Mitch Trubisky beat them. And if he can't do it, it's not going to be a fun season for the Chicago Bears. And just sort of on that same level, the Cleveland Browns, they got walloped in their first game with all of the new weapons that they added. 43-13 to the Tennessee Titans. People were already talking Super Bowl with them. You don't just skip steps. You don't just go from one in, what is it, one in 31 or 32 over two seasons, or one in 31 over two seasons, to 7-8-1 to winning the Super Bowl. I think they might go 8-8, 9-7 this season. That's my overreaction to the Cleveland Browns week one. And this might not even be that hot of a take. We're going to see a third team in NFL history go 0-16.
The Miami Dolphins.
The Miami Dolphins.
This is not, I don't think that's an overreaction. And look, you've got to figure out, because the NFL is not the only pro sports league that is facing this challenge of teams that are actively trying not to win. And it's not good for business. It's not good for the other teams in the league. Baltimore goes to Miami and has an absolutely record-setting day. By the way, for those of you who listen to our Friday segment, Odds and Ends with Lee Sterling, Lee teased for you last Friday a major play that he was going to have in the NFL. His major play was Baltimore covering and beating the Dolphins, and it cashed in a big way. He'll tell you all about it Friday at 4:30, the next time that he joins us. The Dolphins are trying to lose games so that they can be first in line for Tua Tagovailoa, assuming that he'll be the number one overall selection. They need a quarterback. They've already... What surprises you more, just how bad they looked, or the fact that they've already given up on Josh Rosen?
It's weird, because there's this dynamic going on where they have a front office that doesn't want to win, and then a coach that is sort of an overly controlling, sort of a control freak in Brian Flores, who is firing coaches, who is trading away players, who is part of the problem of, it's a two-part problem. They don't want to win, and the players don't like the culture inside the locker room that Brian Flores is instilling. And I just don't understand why you wouldn't play Josh Rosen.
Because gives you too good of a chance at winning.
As if Ryan Fitzpatrick won't win you five or six games. Well, he's not going to win this team 5 or 6 games.
That's the problem. They don't want to win 5 or 6 games.
Well, I know that.
They want to go. They wouldn't mind going 0-16.
And I think they will, because there was the entire team, there were the reports out there that if they traded Laremy Tunsil, there would be a revolt in the locker room. Well, they traded Laremy Tunsil, and they traded Kenny Stills. And there has clearly been a revolt in the locker room to the point where guys are telling their agents, get me the hell out of here. This is the second time this is happening in the city of Miami, just with a different franchise. The Miami Marlins, a similar thing happened. Now it's happening with the Miami Dolphins. I would play Josh Rosen just to see what I have. I mean, he's not going to win you any games with that around him anyway.
What's your biggest takeaway and or overreaction from week one of the National Football League? 319-366-1600.
What is it about the New England Patriots that makes the Pittsburgh Steelers look so horrible every single time?
Your guess is as good as mine on that one. Pittsburgh looked like a team that didn't have Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. Now, for the most part last season, they didn't have Le'Veon Bell. Antonio Brown goes AWOL the last game of the season. Pittsburgh looks like a team that could be in a little bit of trouble. You've got a great receiver in Juju Smith-Schuster, although he did injure his toe at the end of last week's game. It sounds like he'll be able to go this week in week two. You've got your veteran quarterback. You've got Ben Roethlisberger is a top 10 quarterback still. You've got a coach that's won a Super Bowl in Mike Tomlin. Yet they just looked absolutely discombobulated against the Patriots. The Patriots outclassed them in every way Sunday night.
Yeah, that's the thing about when those two teams play. Mike Tomlin gets destroyed. It looks like a varsity against a JV team most of the time. And I don't think Mike Tomlin is a bad coach. I know that there are people out there that are going to stick to their guns and say that he is not a good football coach. I think that he's been doing this long enough. He knows what he's doing, but against the Patriots, Bill Belichick gets him every single time. And I it's sort of the equivalent to seeing Nick Saban and Les Miles for a year in the SEC, where Les Miles, they'd win 10, 11 games a year. But when he would go up against Alabama and Nick Saban, it just wasn't a fair fight. And that's sort of what Mike Tomlin and Bill Belichick remind me of.
319-366-1600 if you want to weigh in. We've got Sultan in Hiawatha. Here we go. Sultan, the floor is yours.
Hi. I would like to throw out a way to stop teams from tanking. It's already very popular in most of the rest of the world, and I know the owners of the big leagues here in the United States will be all against it, but the relegation system. It forces the teams at the bottom to have to win to keep from being demoted to a lower league.
Appreciate the phone call. Unfortunately, there's no way to do that because there's no... What do you do? Kick the Dolphins down to the SEC and bring Alabama up?
Oh, I'd love it, but no, you can't do that.
There's no AAA version of...
The NFL has a monopoly on the sport.
Well, wait a minute. The XFL level. Coming into play in 2020.
Well, okay. Maybe
the Dallas, is it the Renegades, the Dallas... Wildcatters, Renegades, Gamblers.
The Los Angeles Wildcats and okay. The Miami Dolphins swap. I'm digging this idea.
I am all for the... I mean, if it's set up... The problem is the way that sports are in the United States, the lower level right below the NBA and Major League Baseball and the NHL, they're all affiliated with teams. They're not independent entities. So it's not like you could say, well, the Miami Marlins are awful, so you kick them down to the International League and you bring up the New Orleans Baby Cakes, soon to be moving to Wichita if I'm down on my minor league. Because you can't do that because those players, well, they're owned, their rights are owned by Miami. I just so happened, I don't know why I'm on a Miami. I guess I'm focused on the Clinton Lumber Kings. They're a Marlins affiliate playing for the Midwest League Championship tonight. Same goes for the NBA, G League teams. You couldn't do that because those players are under contract with other...
But you could do it with the XFL, just saying.
The idea of relegating teams, I think, is terrific, and I think it's a uniquely European thing. There's no comparable system here in the United States without being affiliated with those major league teams, whether it's the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA. You couldn't pull it off. Now, I saw earlier today that Major League Baseball, I think, is going to have 3 100-loss teams this year when everything is said and done. It's the most since the 2002 season. And baseball sits and wonders why attendance is down. Okay, you've got a handful of teams that are actively in rebuild. They're not trying to win. But those teams play half their games on the road. Are you going to sit down and shell out $85 to go to Wrigley Field to see the Cubs play the Marlins or the Royals? No.
Or the Tigers.
Or the poor Ron Gardenhire. I look at that, and he willingly got himself in that situation. He wanted to manage again. Detroit offered him the job, but my God, he goes to work every day knowing that his team has absolutely no chance of winning, and there's no help on the way. The cavalry isn't coming. And so that's what I don't understand about all of these stories about declining attendance. And they want to focus on pace of play. No, focus on having a competitive product. I think I mentioned yesterday, or maybe it was Monday, having heard Bob Bowlsby on the Big 12 weekly radio program, which we're airing now on KGYM. And Bowlsby talked about fighting the dropping attendance and the fact that people have cold beer in their refrigerators and the fact that you've got 4D Ultra HD TVs, things of that nature. But you know what Bob Bowlsby also said is making for healthy attendance in the Big 12? Competitive teams.
an entertaining product, yes.
When you have Iowa State competing and the vast majority of your teams are competitive, even your bad teams can at least put up a fight, you're going to keep people coming to the stadium, buying tickets, and going to games. If there are teams out there that suddenly turn into the Marlins or the Royals overnight, people are going to go, you know what, I'll stay home. So I think he's got the right view on this. What you need in order for people to show up is a competitive product, and you can do whatever you need to with your roster, but the Cubs and Cardinals, they can't help it when the Padres come to town or the Marlins come to town, because those front offices, they don't want to win.
There's one pennant race, or I guess two pennant races going on right now in baseball. I mean, that's it. There's just not a lot of meaningful baseball to be played around Major League Baseball right now at the end of the season, and that's sort of the problem. And I think there are a lot of things working against it, but yeah, to your point, the closest division race is the NL Central. It's at 4 games. It's up for grabs. The AL Central's at 5 games. I guess it's somewhat up for grabs. Everything else is a runaway. And that's tough to sell to your fans at this point in the season. Hey, come on out to the ballpark. Leave your living room and forget about football for a second to come out and watch the Yankees and the Baltimore Orioles play.
319-366-1600. Other overreactions to week one in the NFL. What do you got? Are we out on Baker Mayfield?
No.
At this point? No? I certainly regret hitching my wagons to him from a fantasy football perspective.
He had a tough game. He was not
really
very
bad,
good.
Really bad fourth quarter. I think it'll be interesting to see. I know we've got 82-58, 18-21, and 68-68 from what I've seen so far on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line with questions for Tristan Cockcroft. I imagine David Montgomery is going to come up tonight with Tristan. And what do the Bears do in week two? I haven't looked at the schedule yet. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head who they're playing. But if you're Matt Nagy and the Bears, you got to run the ball more than 12 times a game, and you've got to figure out a way to utilize David Montgomery.
Especially against the Broncos.
Vic Fangio, a guy who knows Matt Nagy's offense in and out. They cannot afford to lose that game to Denver.
No, they can't. It's on the road.
They go 0-2 to start the season. Their fans will be primed for mutiny.
What is the over-under in that game? 40.5? Are you kidding me?
Take the under.
Yeah. This isn't even college overtime.
It's not college. Tennessee and BYU where you get burned by double overtime.
That's a bad beat.
It was a bad beat. 319-366-1600. Other than that, week one, we dominated by Andrew Luck heading into week one, and then coming out of week one, Antonio Brown dominating the news cycle. The Raiders looked okay to me on Monday night without Antonio Brown. The assumption was that they were going to be just absolutely terrible. They looked okay to me. And then you've got some other teams that I think expectations were pretty high, and they may have failed to live up to them.
The Raiders are interesting because I think they're probably a 6-10, 7-9 type team this year in the AFC West. They're not better than the Chiefs. They're not better than the Chargers. But it felt like a different situation this year. They rallied around their coach with the failings of Antonio Brown, with the departure of Antonio Brown. Whereas a year ago, it seemed like the team was really upset at their coach for the way that he unceremoniously traded away two of their best players. So does John Gruden have something to build on finally? Maybe. we'll see. I'm not sold on the weapons that they have around Derek Carr at this point. And now Jonathan Abram, their star safety, who is a rookie, is going to be miss the rest of the season. So the injury bug is hitting them already. But for them, after all that they went through, it seemed like they really rallied around their coach and their organization after the stupidity that Antonio Brown put them through for 3 or 4 weeks.
319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You are more than welcome to use that to reach us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. It is obviously a big week in the state of Iowa. Iowa State and Iowa renewing their football rivalry this Saturday at 3 o'clock. We will get you ready for it on our FM frequencies, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids and 106.3 FM in Iowa City. It's Before the Boom coming your way at 1 o'clock this Saturday. Kickoff at Jack Trice Stadium set for 3 o'clock. You can catch it on 1600 AM, the Cyclone Radio Network. John Walters will have the call. We'll hear from Matt Campbell coming up before the top of the hour, and we are minutes away from giving you an opportunity to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. Be listening for your chance to participate in the 5 o'clock face-off tonight. 7 questions in 60 seconds. Somebody is going to be enjoying beverages and or food at Mulligan's. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Kyle's going to get you a big board update, and then we'll play the showdown or the face-off as it is in the 5 o'clock hour. It's the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Wednesdays, presented by City Tractor Company in North Liberty. We'll have more details about them over the course of tonight's broadcast. Back with more after this.
We've got your best interest in mind. When you park your savings at DePaco Community Credit Union, you could earn more thanks to the above-market rates. Locked in or liquid, fixed or variable rate, DePaco has options that give you the access to cash that you need, and your accounts are federally insured by NCUA. Your money for good. The deposits you make at DePaco are recycled into loans for your friends and neighbors. Now that's a concept in everyone's best interest. And you'll be money ahead with free tools like You Name It Savings Accounts, savings buckets for whatever you wish, and Change Up Savings rounds up your debit card spending to the nearest dollar, automatically moving that extra change to an account that you choose. Easy money. Let us pique your interest. See all our savings and deposit rates at DePaco.com/rates or call or visit any DePaco office to discuss the many ways we can help you save. It's in your best interest. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
Couples strolling arm in arm would stop to see the display, pointing at the sparkling beauties inside, and little ones would lean in eagerly to see the wonders within. As the decades have passed, the colors behind the glass have changed from gold to silver to platinum and back again, moving with the years, reflecting current trends and classic style. The windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers have always been a centerpiece in downtown Iowa City, something to look forward to and share. And now, those windows are even bigger and more wondrous. The Dickens family will create even more beautiful displays with diamonds, colored stones, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, and rings. So come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then, step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
This is the Gym's Alex Kuhn, and I'll be broadcasting live Saturday at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge. I'll be there helping you gear up for the Hawkeyes' first away game of the season. From noon until the kickoff at 3, hang out with me, do some indoor tailgating, and learn more about sports betting in Iowa. Then stick around and watch the game. Get ready to cheer on the Black and Gold Saturday at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Twins and the Nationals game two of a three-game series comes your way on Wednesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And we welcome you back in as we make our way toward 7 o'clock tonight. You heard an under-the-weather Jeff Downing there mentioning the Twins game. We are still home to the Minnesota Twins the remainder of the season on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, Minnesota. Despite a slew of injuries and suspensions, still trying to keep the Cleveland Indians at arm's length in the AL Central. You can follow along with all the action on our North Gym over the coming weeks. Before we get to a big board and the 5 o'clock faceoff, let's head to the phone lines and bring Sonny in Iowa City on board. Sonny, what's up?
I was just thinking about a couple things. One of them is that I don't think that that Sunday night football game between Houston and New Orleans got nearly enough credit. That was probably the best week one football game that I have ever seen. There was so much garbage football on Sunday from teams that, you know, didn't play. Even the Packers and the Bears, that wasn't great. So much bad football because of all the lack of preseason stuff. Somebody said they should force the players to play in the preseason. I thought, well, there's an insane opinion. They're obviously not going to do that. Nobody would want that. But when it comes to week one, everybody is legitimately out of practice. However, that Saints-Houston game was so good, and I have no idea how they were able to play at that kind of level, but it was just wild. Very, very good football. The other thing I was thinking of is, as you guys were talking about how everybody's trying to downplay the rivalry, what is the point of college football if it is not rivalries? Like, not only is that something that should be promoted, but I started thinking that that's, like, the only reason for college football. Like, is it really to see, you know, what the best bowl game you can go to out of the, you know, 10 possible bowls that your conference goes to? That doesn't make any sense. You want to beat your rival. That's the whole point of competitive sports. So people that don't want that, I mean, that's just bonkers.
Sonny, always appreciate hearing from you. You can follow him in the not too distant future. We do need to keep the phone lines clear for the face-off. We'll get Kyle in the studio to bring you a big board update three times a day on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Our producer, Kyle Mann, keeps you up to date on the Iowa sports scene with a big board update presented by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City.
It's a slow news day here in eastern Iowa, with the biggest news being the announcement of Iowa's wrestling schedule for the upcoming season. But to be fair, it is a pretty grabby schedule. The Hawkeyes will host home duels against five schools that finished in the top 10 at last year's NCAA championships. Ohio State and Penn State will be on back-to-back Fridays in January, and Minnesota, Nebraska, and Oklahoma State will also come to Carver. The Nittany Lions and Buckeyes finished first and second, Oklahoma State third, Minnesota eighth, and Nebraska tenth. Mitch Keller made his first start since being nailed in the throwing wrist with a line drive last night, and to be honest, it didn't go great. He gave up five runs, three in the first inning, and yielded nine hits over five innings. He did, however, strike out seven with no walks. The Colonel's season's over, but for those invested in the Midwest League Championship Series begins tonight in South Bend between the Cubs and Clinton Lumber Kings. That series is a best of five. With less than a month remaining in the regular season, the Twins are clinging to a five-game lead in the AL Central, and the Nationals are in line for the NL's first wildcard spot. And that's the matchup we'll have for you tonight from Minnesota. Steven Strasburg and Martin Perez will be on the mound, and we'll pick it up right after the show on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
All right, Kyle, we appreciate the update. We'll hear from Kyle again in the 6 o'clock hour. Tristan Cockcroft answering your fantasy football questions tonight. Inside the 6 o'clock hour, 6:15 to be exact, you can get those questions to us now, and we will get them in the queue, 8258, 1821, and 6868. Numbers 1, 2, and 3 so far, unless I missed anybody earlier on the Hurting and Stocker Jewelers text line.
I think BJ and Marion as well.
BJ and Marion, get a question in there for him, so you can follow BJ. Again, the number 366-1600, however, you're going to need to call that right now. We need two contestants for tonight's 5 o'clock face-off. It's seven questions in 60 seconds. Whoever answers the most questions correctly will win our prize. And tonight it is a very fine prize indeed, a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road at Mulligan's. You've always got a shot at a better day. 1060 Old Marion Road, extremely easy to find. Just take the 42nd Street exit off 380 and head east until 42nd Street tees off with Old Marion Road. Take a left-hand turn, and you'll see Mulligan's not too far away on the left-hand side of the street. Happy hour from 3 until 6, and on Thursdays, like tomorrow and next Thursday when we're there for the KGYM road trip, half-price wings from 6 until close. A big thank you to Mulligan's for their continued support of KGYM. We've got our contestants locked and loaded. Jim in Shelbyville is with Alex. Brandon in Coggin, hold on tight. We'll let Jim and Alex determine the order we go in tonight.
Jim, do you want to go first or second?
Let's go second.
All right.
All right, Jim, remain silent on the line. Brandon, welcome aboard. I know you are familiar with this. We'll go over the rules anyway. 7 questions, 60 seconds. If you don't know the answer, just say pass. Are you ready?
Shoot.
All right, what legendary businessman and Oklahoma State booster passed away today?
Pass.
Which National League MVP candidate is done for the season after being injured last night?
Christian Yelich.
Which SEC coach compared his program to the Titanic earlier this week?
Pat.
Which two regional NFC North rivals square off this weekend?
Packers and Vikings.
Correct. Which former Chicago Bull was featured recently on an ESPN 30 for 30 last night?
Dennis Rodman.
Yes. What team did the U.S. lose to in the FIBA World Cup today?
France.
Correct. And which MLB team clinched its division last night?
Yankees.
Ooh, no. Legendary Oklahoma State. Okay, well, 4. 4 is good. 4 is strong. Brandon, hang tight, remain silent, and we'll see what damage Jim and Alex can do.
All right, Jim, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it, Alex.
All right, if you don't know the answer, just say pass. We'll come back to it. Your time begins right now. How many touchdowns did UNI quarterback Will McIlvain throw last week?
3.
Before 1998, when was the last time Iowa State had beaten Iowa?
Before 1998?
Yes.
1983.
There's one Big Ten game on this week's schedule. Which two teams are playing?
Pass.
What milestone victory did you and I's Mark Farley pick up last week?
100.
Chris Bryan and Jason Hayward both hit 2 of these last night in the Cubs' loss.
Home run.
What team beat the Cedar Rapids Colonels Monday night to claim the Western Division crown in the Midwest League?
Todd Clinton Lumber King.
What season featured a redesigned Hawk Cyhawk trophy, which was scrapped for a temporary trophy? What season was that featured?
2012.
We have a tie.
I thought it was 3.
Oh, no, it was 4-3.
It was 4-3. Okay. Yeah.
We have a winner.
He had 2. He was off by a year on 2 answers, though.
Oh,
that's
so
how close. Yep.
Great effort by Jim.
Jim, appreciate you playing. And Brandon, hang tight. We'll get you details on how you're going to get your hands on that Mulligan's gift card. T. Boone Pickens passed away today at the age of, I believe it was 91. There would be no Oklahoma State Athletic Department if it were not for T. Boone Pickens. Jeremy Pruitt, the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers, unwittingly compared his team to the Titanic early. Actually, I think it was the mice on the Titanic is the comparison. Needless to say, it didn't do anything to make the boosters in the room feel any better about the direction of the program. And the Dodgers clinched their division last night with a victory over the Baltimore Orioles at Camden Yards.
Before 1998, the last time that Iowa State had beaten Iowa was 1982. Ohio State and Indiana make up the one contest this week in the Big Ten. And Mark Farley picked up his 150th career win. And 2011 was the season that featured a redesigned Cyhawk trophy,
which was scrapped for a temporary trophy.
The precious moments, Pewter family, whatever you want to refer to it as, in hiding somewhere. Somebody did a story on where that thing actually is located nowadays, and I can't remember. 319-366-1600. 1983 was his guess as to the last time prior to 1998 that Iowa State had beaten Iowa. That was the prime of, I grew up, I was 2 years old in 1982. So from the time that I was two until the time that I was 18, Iowa dominated the series between these two teams. As a matter of fact, in 1997, Hayden Fry's last victory over Iowa State, it was 63-20. Hayden pulled no punches when it came to beating Iowa State. And then 1998 rolled around, and Dan McCarney, Todd Bandauer and company, 27-9. You go, okay, well, yeah, they were bound to get one. And then the next year it was 17-10, and then 24-14, and 17-14, and 2002. Oh, Iowa's got a really good team this year. They're up 24-7 at the half. There's no way Iowa State makes it five in a row. Tim Tebrink, I believe, was the defensive lineman who was in Iowa's backfield all day and forcing fumbles. Iowa State wins 36-31. Five-game winning streak is actually the longest winning streak since that 1993 to 1997 streak. The current one is at four wins in favor of the Hawkeyes, so if Iowa were to win on Saturday, they would equal that five-game winning streak from 1998 to 2002, which just coincidentally coincided with my time at the University of Iowa. See, always kind of felt like maybe I was part of the jinx there.
I meant to ask you this question yesterday when we were having the discussion about Matt Campbell and where this Iowa State program is right now compared to where it has been, and I think those statistics will put that into context. But you kind of alluded to it, and I guess I didn't ask you to elaborate. You think that there's a pretty solid chance that Matt Campbell is in this thing for the long haul. I noticed that.
Speaking of the kiss of death here, Iowa State fans, I apologize greatly to you. I get the vibe that Matt Campbell wants to put down roots somewhere and build a program in his image. And I think he's chosen Iowa State. I think he realizes that with Jamie Pollard as the athletic director and the facilities, the commitment to the facilities and the fan support, I think he is very comfortable as the head coach at Iowa State. And I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon. So, yeah, it's a gut feeling, and that's all I've got on this at this point in time. But being there and being around that program, and I don't think this is a carpetbagger coming in from Ohio and collecting a paycheck. And this isn't Gene Chizik.
No.
This isn't Gene Chizik.
That much is clear already. Yes.
And I think he wants to stay and he wants to build something. And that's fantastic because as long as he's there, then Iowa State's not going away. Well, we know Iowa State's not going away from Iowa's schedule. And so we've had this discussion a number of times and some people cannot see this for what it is. If Iowa State is going to be on Iowa's schedule year in and year out, then you want Iowa State to be successful if you're an Iowa fan. There's no point in hoping that Iowa State is a 3-9 football team every year. Like, they're not going away, so you want your schedule to look as strong as possible. And I've never understood how people didn't grasp that concept. I know it's a rival. I know wanting your rival to do well flies in the face of everything that we know about sports, but they're guaranteed to be on your schedule. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. So you want them to be as good as they can be, and you want to beat them when you play them in September every year. It's pretty simple, well, and vice versa.
I'm glad we had that discussion last year during the regular season for the Iowa fans who were sort of rooting for Iowa State to lose, and I'm thinking to myself, well, guys, Iowa State right now is the best win on that schedule. That's the signature win of last year, of 2018. And there was a point where Iowa was rising in the rankings, and they did lose three in a row, but I think that both of these teams having each other on their schedule, especially if it's going to be week three, week one, I don't like it at all. Give them a couple of weeks to build up to it and see what they can do against each other when they have a couple of games under their belt.
Yeah, I know. I don't think Matt Campbell's going anywhere. 319-366-1600, and I think Iowa fans' insistence on believing that he's just making this a whistle stop and that he's going to bound along down the road to bigger and better things, I don't see that as Iowa State's future anytime soon. I think he feels that he has what he needs in Ames to make that program a consistent competitor for Big 12 championships. And this is no different than Hayden Fry coming to Iowa when everybody would look at the Big 10 and say it was the Big 2 and the Little 8. And at the time in the late 70s, you didn't think anybody was going to be able to knock Ohio State and Michigan off its pedestals anytime soon. And what do you look, when you look at the Big 12, what does everybody say? It's Oklahoma and Texas. Oklahoma and Texas, Oklahoma and Texas. Well, guess what? I think he feels he can make Iowa State the Iowa of the Big 12. And you have to understand the history of, I'm not drawing a direct comparison between, I'm not trolling Iowa State fans by saying that. What I mean there is that Iowa was the one that came along and sort of busted up the Big 2 in the Little 8 and was playing in Rose Bowls and Holiday Bowls and Peach Bowls and sort of turned the Big 10 upside down. And I think he can turn the Big 12 upside down. He already has sort of upset the balance of power. We've seen that. And I think he's in it for the long haul. And I will maybe be eating these words in 2 or 3 years, but I don't think so. I think he's a young guy who wanted to take over a program at a Power 5 conference and build something. And he's building something, and he's going to see it through to conclusion. Now, I don't know him personally. He wouldn't know me from Adam if he passed me on the street. But that's my gut feeling. Iowa State won the lottery. They got the right guy. And I think he's sticking around for a while, and he's going to make Gene Chizik and Paul Rhodes seem like distant memories. 319-366-1600. Speaking of the man, Matt Campbell, he had a lot to say yesterday at his weekly news conference in Ames. Talked about Iowa's A.J. Epenesa, what the offensive line might look like if Colin Newell can't go on Saturday, and a whole lot more. You'll hear from Matt Campbell when we return after this.
Keep your family safe and protected with big savings on quality products from Menards. All stock Kidde home safety products are on sale. A general-use fire extinguisher is only $12.99. A battery-powered smoke and carbon monoxide alarm with voice alert that provides clear identification of the danger is only $21.99. Save on Kidde home safety products and more. Price is good through September 21st. Now during Menards' fall catalog sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Life gets real when you think about your son or daughter's future. College costs more than it used to, and careers have changed a lot too. So do you want to let your kid graduate with a mountain of debt in a tricky job market? Probably not. Consider a smarter option, Smart 263. Their apprentice program has stellar training, excellent support, and a game plan for a great-paying career without spending a dime on school. Get all the details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
The great thing about facts, they're proven.
like the fact that crude oil contains impurities, or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities, and the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Find it at Firestone Complete Auto Care.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app.
HomeAdvisor.
If you have frequent heartburn, take control of it with Prilosec OTC. Instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens, or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. Ah, it's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
5:48, we welcome you back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Wednesdays, presented by City Tractor Company in North Liberty. You can find out more details about them by visiting our website, kgymradio.com. Glad to have them on board with us as the presenting sponsor on Wednesdays here on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. As a matter of fact, you can give them a call at 665-6500 if you're looking for solutions for your lawn or acreage equipment all across eastern Iowa. You can consult the pros at City Tractor in North Liberty. That number again, 665-6500. We promised you Matt Campbell audio. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, we will hear Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. Get your fantasy football questions to us now for week 2 on the text line, 366-1600. Here's Matt Campbell yesterday in Ames discussing what the front five could look like if center Colin Newell isn't a go.
What does Colin have to do to show to you that he can play? And if he cannot play, what does the offensive line shuffle look like?
Yeah, you know, I think from Colin's standpoint is especially with what we asked that center to do, he's got to be able to function from a mobility standpoint. And, you know, I think he's worked really hard to get himself back. You know, it'll be really interesting to see where we're at today. You know, in terms of the O-line shuffle, the neat thing is for us is, you know, there's a lot of guys on our offensive line that have played center and have played center within our offense. So, you know, who or what that would look like, I think, is still probably a work in progress as we would go through this week. But I do think the reality, you know, we did that through spring practice. Multiple guys played there in fall camp. You know, we know Julian started there an entire and played an entire season in the game a year ago. So, you know, I think, again, it's putting those best five out there that give us the best chance to be successful, you know, if Colin's not there. But I do feel we're a lot more ready to handle that situation if that presented itself today than we've ever been.
And here is Matt Campbell talking about trying to be disruptive of Nate Stanley. We haven't talked about Nate Stanley's success through the first two games of the season a whole lot, but 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. He seems to be really coming into his own in his final season. And Iowa State, if the Cyclones want to win on Saturday, they're going to need to figure out how to knock him off his game. Here's Matt Campbell discussing that.
Matt, you get a totally different quarterback than what you saw week one in Nate Stanley. How do you get to him, and how does the secondary maybe have to step up and give your D-line a little bit more time to get to him?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing is you're talking about a veteran quarterback, you know, and I think what you see from Nate even in his first two games, the confidence that he's playing with. You know, I think you see a veteran senior football player playing with great poise and great confidence. And when you're playing that, to me, I've said this when we played great quarterbacks in the past, that you're not so much playing against the offensive coordinator, you're playing against that quarterback because he knows his answers and he's got the ability to adapt. And you see him making changes throughout the game to put their team in the best position to be successful. So I think we're going to have to do a great job of preparing to play against him. You know, again, for us to sit in one thing, I think puts our defensive backs at a disadvantage and certainly would put our defensive line in a disadvantage. And, you know, I think the next thing you want to talk about with our passing game is their elite skill right now. You know, I think that's jumped off the screen early on from their video is, you know, just the explosiveness from their wide receiver play so far. It's been really impressive. So really great challenge for our secondary, certainly a great challenge for us defensively with a quarterback playing like he is, and then their skill players.
Again, Matt Campbell talking to the media yesterday. The couple final clips here that we have discussing the Cy-Hawk rivalry, the first of which you'll hear how his first Iowa-Iowa State game helped establish the culture in Ames, and then his attempt at explaining the rivalry to people who live outside the Hawkeye State.
Matt, how did the aftermath of your first meeting with Iowa help set the foundation for the culture you wanted to build?
Yeah, you know, I think that game was certainly, I think, a crescendo of the reality of where we were at that moment. You know, after a tough game one and then going into that environment in this rivalry and really kind of every inefficiency that we were as a football program being exposed, you know, I think it was a harsh reality. And so from us as coaches to our players to everybody involved, bringing those harsh realities to the forefront and then saying, how are we going to fix them? And so sometimes I think you need to be humbled and hit rock bottom, and that was certainly a rock bottom moment for our program.
I think you've touched on this before, but obviously there's a lot of focus on AJ Epenesa from other teams. What do you see from him, but then also what's the pros and cons of focusing on him? Because if you do, then maybe they can exploit you elsewhere.
Oh, well, that's, you know, I think that's the challenge with this defensive front is, you know, across the board, you know, all four players are guys that can really win a one-on-one matchup. And I think that's where their strength has lied, you know, for so many years on this defensive line. If you're just going to focus on one guy, somebody else is going to expose you. You know, I think when you talk about AJ, you're talking probably a generational talent, you know, in terms of pass rush ability. That's one of the things that's been really fun to watch. And, you know, being a former defensive end and former defensive player, you got a lot of respect for a guy that, you know, has so many tools in his toolbox that he's got the ability to really expose you on every snap. And so, you know, a lot of respect for what he does. You know, we're going to have to, again, find ways to really help ourselves out. But, you know, they're across the board on this defensive line right now. You're talking a lot of guys that are going to continue to play football and, you know, certainly an advantage for those guys.
Matt Campbell in Ames yesterday as the Cy-Hawk series will renew once again, I believe, the 43rd game since the resumption of the series in the late 70s. Of course, it took the state legislature to get involved and get these two teams to play each other for the first time since 1934 when they met in 1977 at Kinnick Stadium. That game, a 12-10 victory by the Hawkeyes. It's been pretty even Steven over the last 15, 20 years. Again, once Dan McCarney got that monkey off his back in 1998. And I don't know, how would you explain this to people outside the state of Iowa? It's a rarity. It's a small, relatively small by population, not so much by miles. Iowa's got a lot of territory to cover. It's a small state by population that has two FBS football programs in different Power Five conferences. And it's unique, and it's a rivalry, but there's sort of a friendliness about the rivalry. Don't get me wrong. The two fan bases don't really like each other. But at the end of the day, everybody realizes they're all Iowans. And I don't know. How do you explain it?
There have been so many chapters in it. I think that's where you would start, where it sort of has depended on what era you're talking about. But yes, I think that the constant in this rivalry is the fans, and that's what we have discussed. I think this means, and don't get me wrong, I think both football programs absolutely value this game, but I don't think that either of them value that it more than right now, as it stands, value it more than what they do in conference play. This is about the fans, and this is about the people in the state of Iowa and bragging rights.
Let's take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll let you know what's on tap in the third and final hour tonight. Back with more after this.
Free offer contingent on subscription. Pay shipping and handling. Cancel anytime. Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. When you text the word BEST to 60-60-60. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text BEST to 60-60-60. Text BEST to 60-60-60.
5:58, we welcome you back in. And again, if you're just joining us, we welcome our Wednesday presenting sponsor, City Tractor in North Liberty, on board. They've got six full-time technicians. You can give them a call, 665-6500, to discuss your equipment repair needs. City Tractor in North Liberty, the Wednesday presenting sponsor for the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Strong one so far today. We had Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, joining us at 4:30. Heard a little bit of what Matt Campbell had to say yesterday in setting up Saturday's showdown between Iowa and Iowa State in Ames. If you missed anything from the first 2 hours of the show, our three-hour podcast will be available at kgymradio.com. Coming up for you in the third and final hour of the program tonight, a chat with ESPN fantasy football guru Tristan Cockcroft. That comes courtesy of Imon Communications. Tristan can answer all your Week 2 lineup questions, including what to make of former Iowa State running back David Montgomery's less-than-stellar debut with the Bears. Through no fault of his own, Matt Nagy and the Bears didn't exactly put the running backs in a position where they could succeed. If you've got a question for Tristan, get it to us now. He joins us in 15 minutes. 319-366-1600. The 6 o'clock hour is next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports Brittany Taylor will meet with the NFL next week. Taylor is suing and accusing Patriots wideout Antonio Brown of sexual assault. Brown got on the practice field with his new team for the first time today. Brown's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, anticipated Taylor's lawsuit against his client could be filed.
These allegations are very serious. In no way do we condone any type of illegal conduct, misbehavior. None of that happened here. This is a money grab.
Rosenhaus wouldn't say if the Patriots were told about the possible allegations against Brown before they signed him. Chargers tight end Hunter Henry could be out 4 to 6 weeks with a joint fracture of his left knee. Henry got hurt against the Colts on Sunday. Jets wideout Quincy Enunwa will miss the rest of the season with an unspecified neck injury. It's the second time in 3 seasons that Enunwa has suffered a season-ending neck issue. Rory McIlroy is the PGA Tour Player of the Year. He won 3 events this season, including the Tour Championship, to clinch his second FedEx Cup title. The Boston Bruins signed head coach Bruce Cassidy to a multi-year contract extension. Cassidy took the team to the Stanley Cup Finals in his second full year as coach. Seattle Storm forward Natasha Howard is the WNBA Defensive Player of the Year. The Storm host the Minnesota Lynx in a one-round first-game playoff on ESPN2 after Chicago and Phoenix tonight. That starts at 8 Eastern time.
The Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Mets go head-to-head at Citi Field Saturday at 6:30 Eastern and Sunday at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Presented by Indeed.
Sarah Spain here. Now that I'm married and I have a mortgage, I need to start thinking about things like buying life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can't afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. Cup of coffee costs you more than that. SelectQuote's breakthrough technology allows them to quickly match you with the best insurance company to find your best policy. Plus, quotes are free. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-780-7070. That's 1-800-780-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com/Sarah. That's SelectQuote.com/Sarah.
Get full details in the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
KGYM is here to cover everything you need to know about sports betting in Iowa. This is WagerWise, sponsored by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort.
Another edition of WagerWise, brought to you by Riverside Casino and Golf Resort, the Elite Sportsbook inside the Draft Day Lounge, up and running. And it's only been around for a couple weeks, about a month here in the state of Iowa, but I can't imagine a bigger weekend they are looking forward to than the Cy-Hawk Battle. Iowa and Iowa State fans able to put their money where their mouth is. Jay Rood, the senior risk manager at BetWorks, joining us, as well as Jake Reed from the Elite Sportsbook. And Jake, I imagine you've got to be pretty excited about this weekend.
Yeah, I am very excited about this weekend. Last weekend, I was super excited going to that weekend with the home Hawkeye game against Rutgers. And we actually purchased the fight last weekend. It was kind of shadowed by the Hawkeye game, but we had that. And then NFL football starting. And we got this coming weekend. We got more NFL. Iowa State is going to be a big hit, I believe. Like you said, getting those people that have been fighting with each other for all these years, now they can actually put some money on it.
And I know Alex is looking forward. He'll be broadcasting from 12 to 3 there in the Elite Sportsbook inside the Draft Day Lounge. Jay, Iowa State right now at Elite, a 2.5-point underdog at home. The total on this one, 44.5. What type of activity are you seeing as far as tickets written?
Yeah, ticket count on this game is pretty big. I mean, I've been telling everybody this is probably the biggest game that we're going to book is from a college standpoint this year, probably until the bowl season. At least I would think that would be the case. Ticket count right now is literally 8-1 in favor of Iowa. Cash is about 6-1 in favor of Iowa. So at the betting window right now, Iowa is definitely winning this matchup. But this has been a game that we've had up for 2 or 3 weeks now. We had the Iowa and Iowa State's entire season games up with point spreads on them available for wagering for straight bets and for the Progressive Parlay promotion that they've been running there at Elite Casinos. And this number has moved quite a bit. It opened Iowa State 2.5 when we first opened this. So this game's flipped on us here. And, when we first opened this, my handicappers here, we had a lean towards Iowa, but there were a lot of guys that we respect in the power rankings that we use that had Iowa State as a much stronger team. But I think Iowa's defense has really stepped up and swayed their power ranking considerably in the last 2 weeks.
Iowa 5-1 against the spread the last 6 non-conference games. Iowa State 7-3 against the spread its last 10 home games against a team with a winning record. So something's going to have to give there this weekend. Another game that I think will draw some interest in the state of Iowa. Nebraska fans love to bet the Huskers. They've had a tough start to the season. They're a 14.5-point favorite at home this weekend against Northern Illinois.
Yeah, big number here for the Huskers coming back from a really tough game at Colorado. But, the early support here is definitely on the Huskers. We're seeing a lot of tickets come in on the Huskers. Our ticket count right now is about 3-2 in favor of the Huskers. Money is, not a ton of action to this yet compared to the Iowa-Iowa State game, but money is about 6-1 in favor of Nebraska. I kind of think this game is going to be, we're going to need Northern Iowa because, as you said, we've noticed over the opening 2 or 3 weeks here that Nebraska is a very public team in the region there in Iowa, and we expect them to draw some action. It's a big number, but You know, I think if Frost wants to get some confidence to his guys and they have the capability, you know, they're gonna push it. So that's, you know, what's causing this number to be so high.
Jay, the line movement in the Clemson-Syracuse game has been incredibly startling. I think it opened at somewhere around 17, depending on where you're looking. I've seen as high as 28 in favor of Clemson. Syracuse has given Clemson trouble in the past, but Syracuse is coming off of that blowout loss to Maryland.
Yeah, I mean, this number has been very, very volatile. We opened this number 27. We're at 27.5. You know, the activity to this game so far is fairly light. In the region, you don't quite know what to think of Syracuse right now. And obviously, they're missing the leadership of the quarterback that they had for a few years. Breaking in a new quarterback is always a tough thing for a coach. Ticket count in this one is a 2-1 in favor of Clemson. I would imagine that trend continues up until game time. You know, money on this particular one is in favor of Clemson, about 5-1 dollars bet on Clemson versus Syracuse. But playing in the Carrier Dome is always a tricky situation. Clemson knows that firsthand for sure. And, you know, 27 points is an awful lot of points in this particular matchup.
Syracuse 7-2 against the spread in its last 9 home games against a team with a winning record. But Clemson is a different animal. It is Jay Rood joining us from BetWorks and Jake Reed from Elite Sportsbook. This is WagerWise, a presentation of Riverside Casino and Golf Resort, the Elite Sportsbook inside the Draft Day Lounge. Let's hit one more college game, TCU at Purdue. Big 12, Big 10 showdown, maybe a game of interest here in the Heartland. TCU, a 2.5-point favorite against the Boilermakers.
Yeah, you got TCU coming to town. They're a road favorite. The action on this is pretty much straight down the middle right now. Money and ticket count very close to each other. You know, this total being 51.5, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, this total would have been 71.5. So I think that more people are going to gravitate maybe towards the over on this game. We've got a couple of plays on the over so far. You know, I think both teams I don't know if there's a ton of allegiance to either of these teams in the region or have any. We haven't noticed any big decisions on these teams over the last couple weekends, but this is about the weekend where a lot of people start to really look at some of these totals from teams that have some traditionally high output offense. So we're probably going to be looking at this game being bet over more than anything on either side. You know, it looks like it's split down the middle as far as the side goes.
Jay, it's a pretty light weekend in college football, but a lot of really good NFL matchups, including one here in the region, the Packers and the Vikings, who both looked outstanding in week one.
They did, yeah, absolutely. I mean, everyone was loading up on the Bears on that Thursday night. A lot of anticipation for the Bears. You know, kind of shows that even the pros need to knock some rust off in the preseason because, you know, both those guys didn't have a lot of preseason action. And, you know, the offense looked a little sputtery, but the defenses did look great. You know, 2.5 minus $1.20 on the Packers at home is the number here. You know, obviously Green Bay is playing two, you know, division games here back-to-back. Vikings looked really good in their opener. Total's 44.5 on this. The early action that we've reached so far on the total is all under. Everyone's, you know, betting kind of what they saw out of Green Bay last week. And, you know, from the point perspective, you know, it's pretty well even. It's about, you know, 3-2 in favor of Minnesota on tickets, but it's about 3-2 in favor of Green Bay on money. So we took a couple of big plays on Green Bay early at minus 2.5 flat. That's why we went to 2.5 minus $1.20. But we're also seeing high activity level on Minnesota Vikings, especially in the parlays. We've got quite a bit more money, about 2-1 in favor of Minnesota Vikings on the parlays, and they're hitting the money line plus $1.30 on the money line. If you're backing Minnesota, the ones that seem to be backing them with the higher dollars is backing them on the money line.
Hey, I'm a Packers fan, but Green Bay just 1-4 against the spread in their last 5 NFC North showdowns. Jake, what was the first week of NFL action like there at the Elite Sportsbook? A lot of football fans inside taking in the games and getting some bets down.
Yeah, we got the Sunday ticket in there, and we had all TVs in there. there were some blowout games that didn't, I mean, that people were stoked at the beginning and kind of lost there because they're just the Chiefs. They kind of did really good. The Ravens, Patriots, it was showing a lot of show up for their fans, but it wasn't a good game for them to watch, essentially. I mean, it's kind of a blowout. And then they had some close games. It was kind of interesting to watch the Eagles game there at the end for, I mean, the people who bet it didn't work out so well with the, to cover the points for the last 12 seconds that kind of ruined their day, but a lot of excitement in draft day.
Jake, a 3 o'clock kickoff in Ames on Saturday. How early will the windows open inside the Elite Sportsbook on Saturday?
This Saturday we're probably going to be open at 9, just because we're anticipating a little bit of a rush. We usually open at 10. I think we're going to try to get in there at 9 and get it open, just so everybody can make sure they get their bets in before the game starts.
All right, Jay Rood, the Senior Risk Manager at BetWorks, Jake Reed of the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside, as always, we appreciate talking with you, and we'll hear from you next Wednesday.
Thank you. Sounds good. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend, everybody.
And that is WagerWise, a paid presentation of Riverside Casino and Golf Resort, the Elite Sportsbook, inside the Draft Day Lounge.
WagerWise on KGYM is a paid presentation brought to you by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Check them out at EliteSportsbook.com.
If you have frequent heartburn, take control of it with Prilosec OTC instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens, or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. Ah. It's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
6:13, welcome in the 6 o'clock hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you until 7 o'clock tonight. Twins baseball on the horizon on 107.5 FM, our North Gym. You can also hear us on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. ESPN.com fantasy football expert Tristan Cockcroft set to join us coming up momentarily. Get those fantasy football questions in, 319-366-1600. That is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We've already got a number of them in the queue and ready to go for Tristan. His appearance brought to you by Imon Communications. They sponsor fantasy football content all season long here on KGYM, both the gym class with Chris Liss of rotowire.com and with Tristan. You can give him a follow on Twitter at Sultan of Stat. And Tristan, who was your breakout fantasy star in week one?
Oh, it's got to be T.J. Hockenson. I was excited by what I saw. And, yeah, okay, he had overtime, and it played to the duration in overtime, so the numbers were elevated a little bit. But what I liked was the guy ran more than 30 routes, which was a number that we only saw happen among tight ends six times all of last season. Six individual games of rookie tight ends ran that many routes, put up a record number of receiving yards all time for a player, for a tight end in his NFL debut. Put up the second most fantasy points ever by the position. And the Lions, you know, during the preseason said they were going to use him pretty heavily. This was a great first step towards that.
I want to talk about a couple of receivers with the last name Brown and the two rookie receivers, not Antonio Brown, Hollywood Brown and A.J. Brown. What's your excitement level for those two?
Let's say it's cautious excitement. So Hollywood Brown, I mean, he's got big play potential, and the very big plus from this game was just that Lamar Jackson was so comfortable with throwing him the deep ball, and he showed that he could rein it in. There was better accuracy, I thought, between the two of them in chemistry than I was expecting. At the same time, it was still the Dolphins' defense that played just a miserable game defensively. I feel like some of that needs to be attributed to the matchup. Better defenses are going to contain those two, and Brown did play, I believe it was a low teens number of snaps, which is kind of remarkable. He did what he did. For AJ, same kind of thing where it wasn't quite as spectacular on the highlight reels, but it did show his potential. I do think he can contribute when the matchups are right. I think he's going to be a little bit less up and down, but I don't think the upside is quite as good. But at least in dynasty leagues, it was a great first step.
Tristan, before we get to 8258 and the rest of the text line, I'm going to cut some folks off at the pass. We have a lot of angst here in the state of Iowa about David Montgomery's performance or lack thereof in week one. He's projected to be a breakout fantasy relevant star his rookie season. Would you be concerned if you were a David Montgomery owner after week one?
I'd say not overly concerned. I mean, it was a disappointing performance for sure. But I'd remind us, there were quite a few of them in that opening game. This was just a game that was more defensively minded than I was expecting. I did think it was going to be a little bit lower scoring than usual. The Chicago defense, for example. But, I mean, because he's not going up against his own defense, Green Bay's defense, let's give him some credit for what they did. They actually performed a lot better than I was expecting. He still did get the most carries on the team. Granted, it was only six. It's not a very good number there. The targets weren't great. I actually think the thing that bugged me the most was just that he wasn't really out there on the passing downs as much as I expected. And that was one area where I thought he was a complete pick, a guy who could get into the top 20. So I'm locking him in still right around, if I was ranking today, I'd lock him in right around that number 25 spot at the running back position. I'm leaning towards being hopeful.
366-1600. If you've got a question for Tristan, you can call or text it to us. 8258 starts us off today. PPR League, first quarterback this week, Drew Brees or Dak Prescott?
I would go with Prescott in this case. Washington's defense, while there's talent there, and I do think they could gel in time, they did not show it at all in week one. And Prescott, frankly, looked like the kind of passer that I hadn't seen from him at least not in a full game yet to this point of his career. I know it's the Giants, bad defense, great matchup, but he looked really good. He said an electric arm in this game, and I think he can repeat that against Washington.
And then flex play, also PPR league, Hyde, Peterson, or Travis Benjamin?
I'd go Peterson here. I actually do think that Peterson's going to get a fairly sizable role here. I mean, we had the little coach nonsense after the game between scratching him and various guys and all that and what the roles were. And I don't know. I can't even make sense of it all. But I do think Peterson is going to play a good amount. I do believe that with the injury to Geis. And the matchup is at least decent enough here that I would give him a go.
1821 wants to know which two to sit of these five in a PPR league. Todd Gurley, Malcolm Brown, Chris Godwin, Michael Gallup, and Tariq Cohen.
Gallup I'd sit for sure. Don't like the individual matchup for him. I know I've said good things about Prescott. I'm afraid he's going to spread it around too much, that Gallup isn't going to put up the volume for you necessarily. I think this comes down for the other one between Cohen and Brown. And you said it was a full PPR league?
Correct.
If it's a full PPR league, I'm going to stick with Cohen's ability to get the targets this week. I do think that there is rebound potential there. I would keep him in. I do think he's going to be too involved in the game plan, but he's a little bit safer than Malcolm Brown.
All right, 6868 has asked. We will get him an answer. Dak Prescott or Patrick Mahomes this week?
Has it come to that?
It's come to that. Has.
Not quite. Yeah, not quite to that point, but it's close. I've got him 1-4. Now, I know why the Mahomes question is coming up. He's going up against Oakland. Oakland's defense has some good young rising talent that is going to be a matchup headache for teams down the road. Is it going to happen in week two? Probably not. Still a little inexperienced. I think that's a defense that Mahomes could pick apart. So he's the guy. But I like the question. And I like the attempt at the boldness.
6257, also in a PPR league. Out of these four, wants to know which one to sit. David Johnson, Leonard Fournette, Todd Gurley, or Austin Eckler?
Wow. I hate to sit any of those guys if I can avoid it. David Johnson, I know the fear is going to be just the Baltimore matchup, and it's fair. I get that. I still rank him first. They're close. I've got him in the lead of this group, but it's not by a substantial amount. Looking at the alternatives here, I'd sit Fournette. I don't really have any sort of data point on that. I'm just not feeling it for the road Houston matchup. I'm not. I feel like this is going to end up being a little bit more of a pass-heavy game, which is probably not going to go all that well for the Jaguars.
BJ in Marion wants to know if you know anything about Joe Mixon's health.
Actually, I've not checked on an update on him today, so that's a good question. Last I had heard it was day-to-day. I'm seeing if I can drag up something really quickly. Did miss today's practice, so that means he's going to be on the Friday list where you're just going to have to check back on that. I would imagine he's a questionable listing. My hope is he plays.
Tristan, David in Coralville has Geis, Derrick Henry, and AB, and is wondering if there's a gym that that maybe he can find off waivers.
Among running backs?
Yes.
Of guys who might have snuck through the waiver wire, Chris Thompson did get through in a good number of leagues that I saw, especially if you reward anything for the receptions. I think he needs to be rostered, so definitely take a look if he's out there. I'm not the biggest Ronald Jones fan, but there is opportunity in Tampa Bay, and based on just simple opportunity and the ability for a player to take over the number one spot, I'd at least throw him onto a bench just to see what happens over the next couple of weeks. I can't even give you Kalen Ballage. I won't go there. I won't put you through the torture of that. I keep saying I still believe Miles Sanders is going to have a pretty big year. I know it was a maddening split for that Philly backfield. I still believe in Sanders' talent.
Let's head to the phone lines, Tristan, and bring Casey in Cedar Rapids. He's got a PPR question. Casey, go ahead.
Yeah, so my two tight ends are David Njoku and TJ Hockenson. Obviously a little partial to one more than the other, but going forward, am I okay to roll the dice with TJ moving forward and then looking at dropping Njoku just to get some more running back or wide receiver depth?
I think you might end up in that situation. I wouldn't advise it this week. For all the praise I just gave Hockenson a minute or two ago, we still have to remember he's a rookie tight end, and it's an unbelievably difficult learning curve for that specific position at the NFL, which means you're going to have some ups and downs here. I do like him as a start this week. He's just barely outside my top 10. That's effectively a starter in the majority of fantasy leagues. But I do have them right next to each other. So, I mean, I think there are going to be weeks where the matchup says you go in one direction or the other. I ultimately think that Hockenson is the one more likely than Njoku to develop into something that's a weekly play this year. So maybe 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, you can make that cut and add some depth.
All right, Tristan, PPR league, start two of the three, Damian Williams, Sony Michel, or Josh Jacobs?
I will start Josh Jacobs for sure, just because of the talent, because of the matchup. I worry about game flow. That's the only thing I have a problem with Josh Jacobs this week. I'm going to start Damian Williams here, which maybe sounds odd based on the Miami defense and where it's been. It is possible that Sony Michel gets an awful lot of work and tears up this defense, especially as they try to control the clock late in the game. But that said, I still think Damian Williams is the better play. I feel like Michelle's game this past week just bothered me. I wasn't wowed by what I saw. He's got the injury question before, the role question in New England. I just think it's safer to play Williams.
Tristan, 7100 wants to know who to sit. They're in a half PPR league. Three options: DeSean Jackson, DJ Moore, or Emmanuel Sanders.
Jackson, Moore, and Sanders. Okay. And we need to sit one of these. Jackson, Moore, and Sanders. I would probably sit Sanders of these, but it's pretty close between them. My main thinking here is just, I know Sanders is probably going to get the targets, but I just don't like a Chicago matchup after watching what they did to Green Bay. I just don't think there's a lot of high upside yardage volume coming.
Tristan, 5593 in a keeper league with two running back spots, one tight end spot, and a flex spot. They've got Zeke, Dalvin Cook, Austin Eckler as backs, Kelsey and Kittle as tight ends. So five guys for four spots. Who should I sit?
Wow. Five guys for four spots. And in this case, Yeah, I mean, my instinct is to tell you to sit one of the tight ends, but the two of them are incredible. Did you say if it was a full PPR?
Does not say. So your guess is as good as mine.
I'd let that dictate things. Austin Eckler is the kind of guy I'm all in on the more you're rewarding for the receptions. So if that's not part of the equation, he's the one that I would be sitting here. Otherwise, I would probably just be locking in Kelsey. I think for this week,
I mean, Kittle against Cincinnati is still a pretty good play. You could flip a coin between Kittle and Eckler, to be honest.
It is a full point PPR league. We got another text there from 5593. If that changes anything,
I, as much as it sounds strange to do it, if you have to sit one, I think it's got to be Kittle.
22-72 full point PPR league. Cooper Kupp, Emmanuel Sanders, or Cortland Sutton this week.
Okay, Kupp, Sanders, or Sutton. I want to try to avoid the Broncos again with the volume question there, so I'd go with Cooper Kupp here in this case.
37-56 is in a PPR league and has Hunter Henry and Trey Burton at tight end, and they're wondering if they should drop either of those guys to get Jared Cook off the waiver wire.
Yeah, and that's actually not an easy call between which one to let go of. So I'm going to put it this way. I think Jared Cook is still, even after this first week where he wasn't a big factor, and you know we have the fears that he's not going to quite click in New Orleans the way that we expected. It's one week. I would not get too worked up about it. I still think he is a clear top 10 tight end. And considering that, I would keep Hunter Henry around knowing you can lock Cook in. You can keep Henry stashed away in case he's in for matchups later on in the year, and I would let Burton go.
Standard scoring league alert here from 1287. Start two of the following three in a standard league: Brandon Cooks, Chris Godwin, Tracy McLaurin.
Okay, if we're starting two of them, I love Godwin's matchup this week. I think there's an awful lot of upside because he's going to get a lot of those slot receiver plays, which means he's going to have the advantageous matchup in this. So to me, Godwin's a definite. And I can't sit Cooks. I just can't. I know it wasn't a great first week here, and I know it's New Orleans defense, which does have some talent on it, so that could create some matchup headaches. But I do think that the Rams are going to be forced into a lot of throwing situations, and he has big play potential. I have to keep him in.
78-13 asks, Rodgers or Cousins this week?
Yeah, Rodgers, I mean, he doesn't have the best of matchups this week either. It's Minnesota. I mean, Green Bay's got it kind of tough. I still think I got to start him here. I do think he's going to step up in this game. It's kind of an important one within the division and everything. I don't feel great about his upside, but I think he's the smarter play.
Tristan Cockcroft with us. Give him a follow on Twitter, @SultanOfStat. His appearance brought to you by Imon Communications. 68-12, Gio Bernard, Chris Carson, or Aaron Jones, pick two.
Okay. So Carson's going to be locked in for me. The biggest danger there is a game flow problem. Road at Pittsburgh, I mean, there's the game flow question. But I think he's too good to sit. That was a very good first game. I think he's getting your volume for sure. Going to be tough on the next one. I don't know. I'm going to throw the gut call here on Gio Bernard just because I feel like there's – I don't think San Francisco's defense is as good as we saw last week. I think Gio Bernard, based on the fact he's a good pass-catching back, is going to give you a nice, safe number.
Tristan, Matt wants to know, how long do you wait on Melvin Gordon at this point?
I don't know that there's a real cut and dry answer here. I actually do fear that based on the week one returns and the way things were trending before that, we're looking at months. And I'm not saying that plural. I'm saying it singular. I'm saying it plural. I'm saying months. I worry that this is the kind of thing that takes, until or up to the point of the deadline where he has to sign with the team or he forfeits the year, just like Le'Veon Bell. Now, maybe he will sign, unlike Bell, and it won't go so badly. So I think based on the raw ability, you have to keep him around. But I would count on you're missing 6 to 8 weeks from him easily. And if you need that spot, I get it. There are going to be teams in a tough spot that have to potentially let him go just because they need to get a replacement.
Tristan, I know that I asked you about Hollywood Brown earlier, and you mentioned, the Dolphins' defense is terrible, but where are you on the Lamar Jackson hype train? Are you pumping the brakes, or are you full steam ahead?
If I'm going either direction of those, I'm probably leaning pump the brakes. I feel like the smart way to look at this is Lamar Jackson is really not all that different a player than we expected he would be entering the year. What that game showed us is that he does have a pretty decent deep throw, and he's not afraid to use it. If I was to liken it to a positive comparison for fantasy, it felt a lot like the Deshaun Watson that you and I had talked about in his rookie year. Remember, he wasn't afraid to just chuck it downfield, and he didn't care if this didn't go so well. He had that look to me a little bit in this game, and it means there's going to be a lot more upside than we expected, but it's going to come with a lot of risk. That's where I'm pumping the brakes.
All right, 1886, playing the long game here, Tristan. Didn't put a waiver claim in, and the free agent pool has been wiped clean. I'm good this week, but I have one open bench spot. Any defenses or tight ends to stash for streaming purposes in week three?
I will be honest with you. I have not looked close enough at the week three schedule to throw you one right off the top of my head, but I'm going to throw it into my spreadsheet and see if it picks up one. The first guy I had thought about was Dallas Goedert, actually, who I've been recommending just as a flyer at the tight end position. I think that there could be situations where he matters even as a number two tight end on his own team. Gets Detroit in week three. That's, neither here nor there kind of matchup. So, yeah. Jason Witten gets Miami. That's one to keep an eye on. This could be a situation, especially based on the passing success of Lamar Jackson and the way Prescott looked. Jason Witten could factor against Miami in week three, and I'll bet he's out there in an awful lot of leagues. Other guys who might be available in a lot. Potentially Jack Doyle against Atlanta. I could see him being out there in a decent number of leagues.
Tristan, one last one before we let you go. John wants to know, fittingly, we'll end on a David Montgomery question. David Montgomery or Duke Johnson, PPR league, needs to start one of the two?
Wow, and he has picked two guys ranked right next to each other in my rankings in the flex tier, and I have Duke Johnson first. And one of the reasons that I have him first is I feel like his pass-catching numbers and his role in that offense is a little bit more locked in right now than Montgomery. So I'm going to go with that, even though that on paper a Chargers matchup looks a little bit tricky. I feel pretty decent about that one. Oh, no, that's next week. He's got Jacksonville this week. Jacksonville, actually, it's the same kind of situation where I don't like the matchup, but I know the volume is going to be there.
All right, 94-89, last one. Will Gurley be Gurley? What are your expectations for Todd Gurley this season?
They're a little more tempered. I actually do think that what the Rams did this week might be the game plan for the rest of the year, is that they are going to now manage him to keep him fresh. He's not going to be quite the bell cow he used to be. That's not a terrible thing for fantasy. If it makes him more likely to play 16 games, that's going to be good for us. But it might be that as a back-end RB1, not a guy who carries you to a league championship by himself. And I'll tell you, the Malcolm Brown that we saw behind him is a really important handcuff who made it through an awful lot of leagues. He's still available in roughly two-thirds of ESPN leagues, and to me, he's a must roster right now. So just protect yourself. That's the way you're going to feel best if you have Gurley.
Tristan, what can folks find at ESPN.com on the fantasy football coverage from you?
So we've got a brand new matchups map coming tomorrow. The data is starting to crystallize, and I have a very interesting write-up on Kyler Murray, what I thought of his first game and his matchup for week two. I'm a little bit scared.
All right, the Sultan of Stat on Twitter, Tristan Cockcroft, appreciate it as always, and good luck this week. Not that you need it.
Thank you. My pleasure, and good luck to you.
All right, give Tristan a follow, and again, a big thank you to Imon Communications, their sponsorship of fantasy football coverage on Wednesdays here on local programming. That includes Tristan's appearance with us and Chris Liss of rotowire.com with Scott and Mark on the Gym Class. The Gym Class brought to you daily by Third Base Brewery. At Third Base, you're practically home. You can find out more details about the Gym Class's presenting sponsor by visiting our website, kgymradio.com. Don't give up on David Montgomery just yet.
I'm not, but I was not happy with his usage in week one.
I don't think anybody, certainly, you know what, Bears fans, they don't even have to be fantasy football players, real life football fans of the Chicago Bears were not happy with David Montgomery's usage in week one. Sorry we could not get to all of your questions. This always happens. We have Tristan on for about 15, 20 minutes or so. The people who get their questions in early get them asked, and then we get a deluge of questions in the final 5 minutes, and we just can't sort through them all and keep track of everything. So again, if you want to get them in early next week, you can text them to us at 4 o'clock if you want. We'll ask them at 6:15 when he comes on with us, but you can get them to us anytime you want throughout the course of the program. 6:36, a Wednesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming to a close shortly. Again, we welcome City Tractor in North Liberty on board as our presenting sponsor. More details on what they can do for you and our website, kgymradio.com. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle will get you a big board update, the last of the day, and we will finish up strong heading into a Thursday edition of the show. You're listening to Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM. Back with more after this.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
This is the Gym's Alex Kuhn, and I'll be broadcasting live Saturday at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge. I'll be there helping you gear up for the Hawkeyes' first away game of the season. From noon until the kickoff at 3, hang out with me, do some indoor tailgating, and learn more about sports betting in Iowa. Then stick around and watch the game. Get ready to cheer on the Black and Gold Saturday at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge.
Tomorrow afternoon at 3, tune in to 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM for the Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour. The gym class will be coming to you live from Jefferson before their matchup with Lindmar. This is Scott Unash, and I'll be your host alongside Mark Dukes. Countdown to kickoff with us as we chat with coaches and athletes and get you ready for high school football action. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there too. The Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour, tomorrow afternoon at 3 on The Gym.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the back-to-school maintenance special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
It's that blissful time of year yet again. Time for the Honda Summer Spectacular event, where well-qualified buyers can get 1.9% APR on the 2019 Honda Pilot at Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com Best Buy. Hurry into your local Honda dealer.
Hurry into your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to CentralMidwestHondaDealers.com for more details.
See dealer for financing details. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated.
Lawn legends, run with us on a John Deere X300 Select Series lawn tractor. Head to your nearest John Deere dealer and save big at the Gear Up for Fall sales event. Get $300 off X300 Select Series lawn tractors built for year-round versatility. The Gear Up for Fall sales event won't last forever, so hurry to your John Deere dealer today to find out why nothing runs like a deer. Offer ends November 1st, 2019. Some restrictions apply. See JohnDeere.com or participating dealers for details. Find your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or visit CityTractor.com.
Man, you absolutely hate to see this. Marcus Bailey, the star linebacker for the Purdue Boilermakers, out for the season. He suffered a season-ending knee injury at yesterday's practice, and Marcus Bailey will be unavailable for Jeff Brohm and the Boilermakers for the remainder of the season. He's a young man that we have seen in the past in Chicago at Big Ten Football Media Day. I believe he was there last year with Jeff Brohm and the Boilermakers. A tough blow for a Big Ten West team. He told Mike Carman, who's joined us on the program a number of times in the past from the Journal Courier in Lafayette, "You're obviously going to miss your best player on the defensive side of the ball at that position, but I do feel like we have capable linebackers." It's Jeff Brohm on needing to replace Marcus Bailey. Of course, Iowa will face Purdue this season without Marcus Bailey. The Boilermakers come to Iowa City for homecoming on October 19th. That's already set for an 11 a.m. kickoff. And a tough blow to see a Big Ten West team lose a star caliber player like that. Let's bring Kyle into the studio. He's going to bring you a big board update, the third and final one of the day. Each hour brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. You can check him out on 420th Street, not too far away from the Sinclair Gas Station's Big Green Dinosaur. You can also visit their interiors showroom, Answers by Alexander. That's located on South Gilbert Street in Iowa City.
It is a slow news day here in eastern Iowa, with the biggest news being the announcement of Iowa's wrestling schedule for the upcoming season. But to be fair, it is a pretty grabby schedule. The Hawkeyes will host home duels against five schools that finished in the top 10 at last year's NCAA championships. Ohio State and Penn State will be on back-to-back Fridays in January, and Minnesota, Nebraska, and Oklahoma State will also come to Carver throughout the season. The Nittany Lions and Buckeyes finished first and second, Oklahoma State third, Minnesota eighth, and Nebraska 10th. Mitch Keller made his first start since being nailed in the throwing wrist with a line drive last night, and to be honest, it didn't go great. He gave up five runs, three in the first inning, and yielded nine hits over five innings. He did, however, strike out seven with no walks. The Colonel season's over, but for those invested in the Midwest League Championship Series begins tonight in South Bend between the Cubs and Clinton Lumber Kings. That series is a best of five and should be getting going right about now. With less than a month remaining in the regular season, the Twins are clinging to a five-game lead in the AL Central, and the Nationals are in line for the NL's first wild-card spot, and that's the matchup we'll have for you tonight from Minnesota. Steven Strasburg and Martin Perez will be on the mound, and we'll pick it up right after the show on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
You can't make this up. I just came across an article about Cornell Jones, the player that will take Marcus Bailey's spot at linebacker for the Boilermakers. Apparently, he does not eat turkey because he's scared of birds. This is similar to Jim Harbaugh instructing his players at Michigan to not eat chicken because the chicken is a nervous bird. But apparently Purdue's new starting linebacker, Cornell Jones, doesn't eat turkey because he's scared of birds.
Does he eat chicken? My follow-up question.
Yeah, well, maybe we've got to wait until next week's media availability before Mike Carmen and the folks in Lafayette can get to the bottom of that.
640. Ask the tough question.
Ask the tough questions.
Come on, Mike.
Okay, turkey. Well, chicken's a bird. You don't want to eat chicken? Cornell? What's wrong with you? Well, you could say it's a nervous bird, just like Jim Harbaugh used to. 366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Thank you so much for all of your interactions with us today and throughout the week. We're going to take a quick timeout, our last of the night. When we come back, we'll put the finishing touches on a Wednesday edition of the program and let you know what's in store for your listening pleasure on a Thursday. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, KGYM, after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Sarah Spain here. Now that I'm married and I have a mortgage, I need to start thinking about things like buying life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can't afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. Cup of coffee costs you more than that. SelectQuote's breakthrough technology allows them to quickly match you with the best insurance company to find your best policy. Plus, quotes are free. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-780-7070. That's 1-800-780-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com/Sarah. That's selectquote.com/Sarah.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Did you know overall job satisfaction is at its highest level in 15 years? Wow. 51%. Wait, what? That's barely half. Would you see a doctor with 51% patient satisfaction? No way. Yet 49% of you keep driving to that unsatisfying job. Why? You have options. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. mycomputercareer.edu.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
Twins and the Nationals game 2 of a 3-game series comes your way on Wednesday night. Hi, this is Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And we welcome you back in at 6:47, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a what seems to be a very beautiful Wednesday evening here in eastern Iowa. We appreciate you listening, whether you've been with us the full 3 hours or joined up with us somewhere along the way. We heard a little Gary Rima, the UNI play-by-play voice for the Panthers at 4:30 tonight. UNI does not play this weekend. The Panthers will rest up for Idaho State next week, so I imagine there will be quite a few viewing parties in Cedar Falls for Iowa and Iowa State at 3 o'clock on FS1 this Saturday. We also talked fantasy football just moments ago with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. If you have a fantasy question, you're looking for an answer to it, ESPN.com's fantasy football page has a lot of great information, much of it not behind the insider's paywall, or you can listen to Tristan with us every Wednesday. I found the genesis of the Cornell Jones not eating turkey story. Apparently, this is from last Thanksgiving. The Journal Courier in Lafayette, Indiana, was asking players their favorite Thanksgiving dish, and he willingly volunteered that he does not eat turkey because it's a big, scary animal. He instead said that his go-to, candied yams at Thanksgiving. It's hard to beat a good sweet potato. I don't know what the difference between a yam and a sweet potato is. I think they're the same thing.
I'm pretty sure they're the same.
Yeah. I don't, that's maybe it's preparation or a local colloquialism. I don't know. 319-366-1600. The Brewers in life without Christian Yelich, trailing the Miami Marlins right now 2-1. The Cubs and Cardinals both play later tonight. Cardinals have the Colorado Rockies. Daniel Hudson on the mound for St. Louis tonight. That game is at Coors Field, correct?
I believe so.
And the Cubs on the West Coast taking on the San Diego Padres. Chris Paddock and Cole Hamels, the pitching matchup in that one. The Cubs losing in extra innings last night. Now just a game ahead of Milwaukee for the second wild card spot. It's going to be a rough and rowdy final 3 weeks of the regular season as the Cubs try to cling to that final wild card spot in the National League. As Jeff Downing mentioned, we've got the Twins coming up for you on 107.5 FM, the North Gym tonight. Minnesota still in the driver's seat. I think a 5-game lead in the American League Central as the Indians continue to sputter along. Baseball is still alive and strong here in eastern Iowa. A lot of baseball fans excited about the playoff push. We're not going to stop talking about it, but football's king. The NFL kicks off its week with the Thursday night game tomorrow. That is Carolina and somebody. It's lost. My memory is just not what it used to be. Anyway, it was my opportunity to remind you that if you are registered for our KGYM knockout pool and you want to use that game tomorrow night, you can put in for it. The Buccaneers. That's why I forgot about it. Tampa Bay, Carolina tomorrow night, the Thursday night football game. If you want to, I suppose, choose Carolina for the knockout pool purposes, make sure you get that pick in before kickoff. Good luck to everybody who was able to sign up and get registered. Somebody's going to take home $500 at the end of this NFL season, courtesy of Imon Communications. Coming up on the program tomorrow, look, it's Iowa, Iowa State. It's Cy-Hawk week. We're talking Iowa, Iowa State football. What else would we be discussing on a Thursday around here?
Alex Halstead is going to join us to preview this game from an Iowa State standpoint. But yeah, hopefully now that we're on the backslide of this week, we can start talking about the game, because the lead up of the two teams has been a little bit less than interesting, but the fans continue to bicker back and forth.
Will we know the guest picker by tomorrow? Will ESPN leak that information? College game day coming to Ames. The line beginning at 3 a.m. Gates opening at 5:30 a.m. for the pit behind the college game day crew. It's going to be a sea of humanity, 500 to 700 people strong, and Ames is ready for it. The question is, are the Cyclones ready for the Hawkeyes? We'll ask Alex that and more coming up on the program tomorrow. We'll work on some other guests as well. Thursday also brings you an opportunity to enjoy Would Ya with us here on the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. Speaking of, one final thank you to City Tractor in North Liberty, our presenting sponsor on Wednesdays moving forward. You can check them out. They've got big tractors. They've got riding lawnmowers, you name it, they can help you out. They've even got six technicians on site there. City Tractor, our presenting sponsor on Wednesday. Thank you so much for coming on board with us. We are stepping aside for the evening. Local programming continues tomorrow with Scott and Mark, the Whirlpool Careers Tailgate Tour, gearing you up for some Thursday night high school football. If you missed anything from today's show, the podcast is available now at KGYMRadio.com.